Gay Frog cereal. It's so tasty, healthy, and delicious. Make sure you get some today.
A few moments later.
I still love the cereal and the atrazine infused milk, but I don't know what happened to me.
Has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the Dual Carbon Gravity Water Filter.
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine. No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever.
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will.
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell ya.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you something.
Oh, boy, that tastes great. You can always trust good old Alex.
Another satisfied customer.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalist at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I've persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
Specimens have been specifically calibrated for the spread of Alpha Gal, a permanent curse on those who feast on the flesh of mammals. Real meat is finished. My ticks and mosquitoes will make sure of it. Eat the synthetic slop or starve.
Looks tasty, doesn't it?
freedom. We're live on alexjoneslive.com, and if you want to fight, you've got one. Yeah! Yeah!
It is July 23rd, 2026. I am your embattled host, Rex Jones, here in studio, AJN Live. Please repost, share live feeds, live broadcasts. We've got a huge news day for you today, covering, rounding up what I talked about with Suleiman yesterday, the full resumption of the conflict. In fact, the expansion of the conflict with the Bab al-Mandeb, with the Houthi faction as well. We're going to get into all of that. We're going to get back into Section 224, now Section 219 of the NDAA, as well as Section 612 that merges our intelligence community as well. It's not just the military that's involved. But I wanted to start off today because here's the thing. I do three-hour morning show, New American Journal, every single morning, Monday through Friday. And every single time I'm getting ready to prep that show in the morning, I'm like, man, how am I going to fill this 3 hours? And by the time 11:30 hits and I'm watching the Alex Jones show on AJN Live or on Real Alex Jones on X, I'm already like, dang, I got a whole show to do this afternoon, which is why I'm so happy and so grateful to be here to do the hosting spot on War Room today. So let's go ahead and throw up the latest horror show out of Israel, which, of course, would be Ben-Gvir's Crocodile Pit. Now, you might think, like, Rex, that doesn't sound legitimate. That doesn't sound real. Trust me, it is. So let's show the Times of Israel writes about this. Let's get that up there. Ben-Gvir's Crocodile Prison Moat. Construction said already underway at Ben-Gvir's Prison Crocodile Moat. Far-right minister's office confirms that digging has begun at a Keziah prison despite objections from Nature Authority and Environment Ministry's legal counsel. Senior prison officials tour the crocodile farm in northern Israel. Crocodile farm? I mean, they're mass producing them? What, is this his version of a gas chamber? January 2026, a moat meant to hold crocodiles is already being dug at Keziah prison. Why are they digging a moat specifically to put crocodiles in it? What, is he going to be a wacky racer too? Is he Dick Dastardly or something? This is like what I like to call cartoon bad. It's as bad as you can be. Just like when he says he wants to burn all of Lebanon. That's also what I consider to be cartoon bad. Just like when he shoves flotilla aid workers down and holds them in struggle positions. I'd consider that to be cartoon bad. I'd consider it to be cartoon bad that he's been in the States very recently and he hasn't been arrested. The same, of course, with Netanyahu. It's kind of like the concept of like an international villain in like a James Bond movie, like diplomatic immunity or something. I mean, no one else gets to do this stuff. Even the Chinese with their like crazy human body anatomy, what are they called? Museums or whatever, where they have like real bodies they've picked apart. They're not even this proud of what they do. Digging for the crocodile moat is underway inside the prison around one of their special wings, a source on the regional council told the outlet. It's a moat about 560 feet long, and you can't see it from outside the prison. No one knows if there will indeed be crocodiles there, but preparations are being made. Well, if you're making preparations, it sounds, all right, you bake the cake, you put the icing on it, you serve it, people are going to eat it. You build a crocodile moat that's 560 feet long, specifically designed for some sort of saltwater reptilian creature. They're not going to put ducks in there to keep the prisoners that they rape and murder on record from escaping. They're probably going to put the Nile crocodile. Good grief. Good Lord. It reads like a joke. I'm going to keep reading it. The prison service is all set. The plan exists in the finest detail from the maintenance and care of the crocodiles. They'll take better care of the crocodiles than they'll take care of the prisoners. I mean, what the hell have we become? What the hell have they become? We fund this. We fund this project, by the way. They don't do anything without our express consent. It's a nation of 9 million people that we entirely finance their military and defense. You can say, oh, that's not true. That's not true. Well, they started a massive regional war. Whose missile and air defense would that be? That would be ours, right? That's all gone and depleted now in service of defending them. We pulled it from other allied nations like Japan and South Korea. Like, screw them, F them, I guess. Why are they important? Probably, you know, they don't have as much money, power, influence, can't do as much for, you know, I'm an American politician. I'm holding blood feasts. It's a good deal to make money with AIPAC. Fills my belly with blood. Yum, yum, yum. There's that whole thing, and it's psychotic, and the American public recognize it. And the more stories come out like this about the crocodile moat, where they're going to take care of the crocodiles and the crocodiles' resting cells. They're literally treating the reptiles better than the prisoners. And I guess that's what you get for Ben-Gvir. Can we show him at Al-Aqsa as well? Of course, I think you guys are familiar with this. I'm just doing a quick recap, but this is like earth-shattering global world news, so we do have to cover it again. Ben-Gvir, cartoon Cartman 2.0, evil, real, and Jewish, by the way, kind of like a bizarro Cartman, if you will. He's leading thousands of settlers with guns into the Al-Aqsa Mosque and taking it over in preparation for demolishing it. Now, they can say, oh, we're there to check and see if the weapons are around, you know, those dirty Palestinian Hamas bastards trying to kill us all, you know, as you kill them and rape them and kick them off their land and wear the lingerie of their women after you kill them. That's on record. You know what? Hold on. I'm kind of doing a curveball here, but I got a long period of time in this segment. I want to keep talking about Ben-Gvir, and I do want to show, and my dad went over it before, but I do want to show the settlers in Ben-Gvir showing up to the mosque, and I do want to cover that. Can we look for the video? Look this up. Destiny tells IDF to hide war crimes. If you just type that into YouTube, it'll come right up. Can we get Destiny? Stephen Bunnell. I just want to give another example of cartoon bat. Okay? Because when we say some of this stuff, it sounds so outlandish, you won't believe me, but it's all true. Destiny, Stephen Bunnell, world-renowned debater, the omni-liberal, this guy. He goes over to Israel and on video tells the IDF soldiers, he goes, look, when you guys videotape each other, you know, wearing the lingerie or the underwear, whatever he said, of the people after you kick them out of their houses or take them away or kill them or whatever, just don't do that. Hey, just don't film it, man. They're all laughing, having a good time. Screw you, Destiny. I'd like to see you fight a Palestinian 14-year-old. I think you'd die. Seriously. But that's where we are, and that's who these people are. Go ahead and show the settlers in Ben-Gvir. Go ahead and show them around the mosque. I think we should have this by now. I can look for the clip number myself as well. Ben-Gvir, waddling down the street, loves to eat meat. Ben-Gvir. Let's see where it is. I thought that I had it, too. Ben-Gvir. He is a queer. Ben-Gvir. All right. So we have Ben-Gvir, but it's not just Ben-Gvir. It's also Smotrich. It's also Israel Katz, the defense minister. It's also the leader of the opposition party as well. It's Naftali Bennett, who wants a massive war with Turkey. It is Nazi Germany. It's worse than Nazi Germany because they have nukes. And anyone who says that's outrageous, let me pull into the bag of evil deeds they've done. Look at this. This is just one of them. Let me remind you, the Red Crescent, which is the Arab equivalent of the Red Cross, in Gaza, clearly marked in ambulances after they had notified the IDF of where they would be, they were gunned down in execution style, slaughtered in their, I forget what the nurses and doctors wear. What's that stuff called, crew? What's the outfit they wear? Scrubs. Killed in their scrubs, killed in the ambulance, whatever. The only reason why we know what happened after they lied about it and denied it was that it was all on video. And what you have here, we had a caller, I think he fought in the Battle of Fallujah, call in and talk about this in the second hour. That was a very powerful call. I really enjoyed today's show. And he made it clear. He said, look, this is like going into Vatican City and throwing the Pope out. You know, we killed their Pope. We killed their Ayatollah. Just think about all the slights and injustices stacked and stacked and stacked. You can say, I don't care about them at all. They have a false religion. They should just die. Well, you're going to care about 200 million people deciding they're going to get rid of you, right? And they didn't decide to get rid of you out of the blue. They actually wanted to be left alone at first. We killed their religious leader, who was actually the moderate who banned the nuclear weapon. Ayatollah wasn't the moderate. He was a demon. Whatever you believe, he signed the fatwa in 2003. That's why 19 intelligence agencies said this wasn't a real nuclear threat. And that's why whenever I hear that magic spell of Trump up there like that great golden lizard on the rock going, Iran must never have the nuclear weapon, he really should resign. He really should resign while he has a shred of dignity left. is absolute filth because he enables true filth like this Ben Gavir, who's trying to provoke a global nuclear conflict with this. That's what this represents. The Islamic hive mind or whatever, the collective, it's referred to as the Ummah, right? And that could mean various things, various different like groups and whatever. But globally, the idea of like a global Muslim consciousness, right? This is how you create that. And all these people that are like, I'm a proud Islamophobe. I'm gonna play a crazy video later of a black pastor who's really funny. And I do agree with some of his points, to be fair. Just think about it. It's making me crack up. But this idea of we got to crush them before they crush us, us crushing them, us attacking them first, which is what has been happening for really the 20th and 21st century, that has created the situation we're in now. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy in the same way Iran must never have a nuclear weapon is a self-fulfilling prophecy. We literally, our governments, our countries speak these things into existence and make them happen due to their will. Because they're trying to do something that they're lying about. So, of course, the opposite is going to happen. Trump said he was going to come in and take care of peace, and now we're feeding people the crocodiles. Look at this. You know, that's probably not even scale. It's probably a lot bigger in real life. But that's what she said. Let's go ahead and go back to the rundown here. Let's go to, I wanted to play this, and let's play this in context. Were y'all able to find that other clip that I was talking about of Destiny, of Stephen Bunnell? Because I want to show that before I show the last moments of these four American soldiers. I want to show you what they were fighting for. Here we go.
I think Israel has unique issues.
Okay. All right, pause it. All right, didn't realize there were F-bombs in there. I apologize. I deserve to be beaten by the crew. All right, I'm very sorry about that. But here, you hear him say, you're committing the war crime. Just, hey, you leave the cell phone at home. Just don't video yourself doing the war crime. Now let's show clip number 7. This is what the last moments of the four U.S. soldiers were. Let's show, because they're fighting for, you know, Destiny and the IDF to be able to go there and, you know, wear the lingerie of the women that have been killed or captured or kicked off their land. Right? Not Destiny directly, but he supports that. That's what, he's on video supporting that. Let's go to clip number 7. This is, hey, you paid for it. You eat it, right? The soldiers are eating it, Destiny. You don't have to eat it. You're like Private Pyle. Just stand there and watch. Like a cuckold. Play it. Pretty cool. Just a metal box, not a real bunker. Oh, those IDF soldiers that Destiny was with, oh, they got better bunkers than this. You better believe it. This is just a shoebox. Your death howling in the sky, screaming for vengeance. Revenge, revenge, revenge. That's what the Iranian people say because we killed their Pope. And now innocent American soldiers are going to die in a war they can't even fight in. They are literally sitting ducks because of people like Destiny. People like Trump. People like Ben Gavir. That's kind of the tiered pyramidal structure. People like Misfit Patriots support this. People like Jake Hilton support this. People like Ben Shapiro support this. Anybody online you see toeing the line, it's not to be tolerated anymore.
Adam was here.
Liberal, 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 right? Die, die, die. You know, I think it's 18 or 20, probably a lot more Americans. They're lying about that number, 100%. Murdered. No missile defense. If we have missile defense, it doesn't work. Killed by a $20,000 lawnmower. Sarah Gonzalez, Angel, Michael, Tyler. No more. No more of them. They don't get families. They don't get a future. But Destiny does. Ben Gavir does. Netanyahu does. They get to take a hot shower tonight. They get to eat good food. They get to make love to their woman or man or God knows what. Look at that. They're coming home. They're coming home. You know, maybe Destiny will visit the cemetery and pour one out. Actually, really, really makes me mad. Americans dying, hiding like mice in the desert. And I honor them by telling the truth about their murder. Not by vain platitudes and saluting the troops. When the troops are a hostile, or not hostile, they're a hostage entity. They're a hostage entity that we, the people, are being, there's a knife up to our throat right now. All right. Some pretty heavy stuff, guys. Some pretty heavy stuff. Let's go ahead and get into the NDAA. I want to go ahead and play clip number, where is it at? I want to go ahead and play clip number 16 and then clip number 17 in a row. That's Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson.
I think 60 to 70% of America now that is under 50 years old that thinks this relationship with Israel is poisonous, which is the pure truth, and wants to do something about it. So it'll take time, and I'm afraid that in that time, a lot of bad things are going to happen. And Mike Johnson and Mitch McConnell and John Thune and others like them are going to have to bear the burden of history in terms of what they've done. They are, in effect, traitors. They are, in effect, traitors. Let me emphasize that word, traitors, because they have betrayed the United States. And Section 224 goes even deeper into it. And I'm quite sure that one's going to make it through, too. So we're looking at a Congress that is betraying the United States of America in a significant way with regard to national security. And I think with regard to domestic tranquility, because we're going to have at least close to, if not an actual civil war over this, if we don't do something about it.
And it's unquestionable that the Epstein business was heavily influenced, let me put it that way, by Mossad.
And so that's somehow emblematic on these huge geopolitical issues.
Yes, I watched Mossad take over the Pentagon in 2002. The Pentagon was infiltrated by Mossad. They did not need any identification to get through the rear entrance of the building. They went upstairs to Douglas Feith, the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, the third most powerful man in the Defense Department. Occasionally, they went to the second most powerful man, Paul Wolfowitz, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, and they had run of the Pentagon. Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, said to my boss one time, hell, I don't run my building. Mossad does. And I mean,
that's Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson. He was Colin Powell's chief of staff, as serious and legitimate as it gets. He worked in multiple presidential administrations, and he's saying they run us. It's very simple. They've run us for a very long time. It's just, you know, the cost and the pain of all this stuff. It wasn't enough for us to notice. That's how decadent and spoiled and cowed we've become as Americans. We've got to wake up to that fact and not have a delusional arrogance about where we are and realize, you know, we're an occupied nation. And that's why I often say, you sitting there at home, like, I don't care if you hate the Muslims or whatever, like, you're the same as a Palestinian. You two are the exact same. The Palestinians have had everything taken from them but their dignity. We've had everything remain with us but our dignity. And I would say it's around approximately equal value that we've been deprived of, right? Think about the fact that your tax dollars have gone for decades to murder little children in genocides and ethnic cleansings that our nation denies. This is all one day already out there for the vast majority of the world, especially the Global South, is aware of what we've done. It's you know, Ben Shapiro, it's quite ironic. He says facts don't care about your feelings. Well, when the real Holocaust numbers come out about what's happened to Gaza, about what's happened to Lebanon, about what's happened to Yemen, places like Somalia, all manner of nations that we've interfered with and destroyed. Libya used to have highest standard of living in Africa. Now they have a slave trade. It's estimated already, according to, I think it's a Brown University report, that we've killed 38 million people around the world with our sanctions since the 70s. So that modus operandi, that way of behaving, that world policeman archetype, which was never a world policeman, it was always a world profiteer, a world protection racket, a world mafia boss, that's coming to an end. Not even by the aggressive actions of other powers, but by the relentless need for the United States, U.S. Israeli Empire, because of that projection of force, that 51st state, that capital, thousands of miles away, because they exist, we have to project the amount of force that we do. If we didn't have the impact that we had in the Levant, in the West Asia area specifically, then they wouldn't be able to survive, even with all the money or whatever, right? So we have to have that military presence to demonstrate that that artificial state has the firepower to survive. And now they want to make it very clear that our firepower is their firepower. That's what Section 224, the NDA, and Section 612, the intelligence merger, that's what it's all about. And I've seen some prominent people talk about this, and, you know, they have problems with it being called a merger, and they quibble with it. My thing is, if you're like some of the most prominent people out there that call out like international Jewry, world Jewry, the Jewish mafia, 100% real, if you do that, but then you also say, saying it's a merger is stupid. I don't like it, but saying it's a merger is stupid. Like, what are you doing? Like, what's the point? Like, you have an issue here that's palatable to a wide number of people to get aware on. You're just like, oh, well, they're just not high level enough to understand why it's bad, but it's not the end of the world. They're appointing an executive agent who is above everyone else at DOD. He is above every research and development, AI, quantum computing, missile defense, underground, whatever. And it's listed out in a way to be like, oh, look, it's like $50 million here, $100 million here. It's not that much money, guys. Look, we just spent $100 billion on the war. That is all a fugazi. It's not about the funding of these programs. It's about the authority over these programs. That's why I call it a merger. That's why Anthony Aguilar, Lieutenant Colonel, called it a merger. He broke it down very well. I've done like three shows on this. And then I get people in my comments that are like 105 IQ maxing, trying to be like, oh, that's a non sequitur. How can you say it's a merger? And it's just like, dude, like aren't you against world Jewry too? Like, you see everyone calling this out right now for what it is, and they're doing it to us? I don't know. It's just like stepping on a rake. I really don't get it. But let's get back into the clips. To reference Trump being an absolute psychopath, let's go to clip 25. And I want you to think about those dead Americans again. Angel, Tyler, Michael, and Sarah. Here, cut back to me. We will go back to that after the break. I think it's a longer clip. I didn't remember that. Thank you all for being here. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Here's the thing. I'm in here. I'm doing the shows. Big reason why I'm able to do them is because I take that powerful methylene blue. And you can get it, too. This is our flagship product, over 80% reorder rate. You love it. Everyone loves it. Got it in capsules. Got the methylene red. I even got products, Power Plant and Methyl Drive, I made specifically to tag onto this to enhance it. So go to thealexjonesstore.com and get that flagship item. Get that blue! See you soon.
There's a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom Mango, and Patriot Punch. If you loved Turbo Force 10-Hour Clean Energy, this is basically the same formula, but even stronger, with some other ingredients added that make it even better. Time-released with all the key minerals and vitamins and cofactors. It is incredible. Methylene Red Capsules. This is a proprietary product that goes with methylene blue, but by itself supercharges your cells and your whole body as a stimulant, but doesn't feel like one with no letdown. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in Ultimate Methylene Red. I should spend 5 minutes just telling you what this does. Go read the ingredients, ask ChatGPT or Grok about it. Ask them what these things will do for you. In fact, I did this with the methylene red when it came out 6 months ago. I want to do that again and just show you what it says about it. I mean, this is high-end stuff at a low price. You can get it for 50% off right now. Methylene Red Capsules, introducing those. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots, all 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxifying, go up for spike protein, and it's good for the whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate chill, which is the kava and all the rest of it. You'll be totally calm, but also focused. That goes great with Ultimate Energy. You stack them. And a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. Most of the apparel has like a 75% markup. If it's a small, it costs less, so it's 100%. When you buy like an XXL, it's less than 100% markup. It's like 75%. So when you have 30% off on the apparel, we're making like $5 on it. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration, it is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel Scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776 in muscle shirts. A whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexshowstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. Super lightweight, amazing. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. And it's you know, what everybody I see wears at the gym. I mean, it's just that they're great. And it's got a ring of stars with 1776 on the right hip. Very clean, very nice. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery t-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery t-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We have all these pure Americana beauties. We've got the new white trash collection that we should pull up and show people. That's what I'm calling it, because I always see truckers and stuff wearing it. I mean that affectionately. But it's, you know, a beautiful Daisy Duke or beautiful blonde, beautiful brunette, you know, with 1776 across it, Texas flag, Rebel flags, American flags, Gadsden flags. We got a whole bunch of these Texas Rebel limited edition vintage style t-shirt. I love it. These are obnoxious. If you're going to go big. There's a whole line of those bad boys with the beautiful ladies on them right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the very best shower filters with the highest ratings, cutting out the most garbage at the lowest price. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing, my favorite cross, Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. Thealexjonesstore.com, and you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar, thealexjonesstore.com.
I got more news for you. You know, we're always grateful when the peace president makes an appearance. You know, Donald Trump, the man who deserves 14 Nobel Peace Prizes for stopping 9,000 wars. He's currently got us in the Iran war right now. That's not a war, but it's also been going on for 47 years. We might need to fight it for another 20 years, but don't worry. They're obliterated. They have no air defense. They have no Navy. They have no Air Force. It's all totally gone. Let's go to Donald Trump checking in with the dear leader.
Some of you are going with us to honor our heroes, and they are indeed great heroes, actually. They said, and they, all of them said very strongly, we cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. They won't have a nuclear weapon. So we're going to honor them.
I am Hades, and I speak for the dead.
No, they're doing that. That'll be released. You know what?
The Great Wizard. David Icke was right.
They're going to pay a big price. They're being decimated.
Is that report inaccurate?
Yeah, please.
Sir, what should you say to families of fallen soldiers? When Americans are wrongly against this war, how do you ask them?
Well, Americans aren't against the war. A poll just came out. Americans don't want high gasoline prices, but they're not against the war. That just came out loud and clear in a poll. Nobody wants Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Do you want Iran to have a nuclear weapon? You think it's good?
Okay, pause it. All right, so what he just said there is, oh, Americans are not against the war. They're just against the high gas prices. No, I'm against the murder, and I know plenty of people that are as well. So that right there, also, I am Hades, and I speak for the dead. That's his version of I am the Lorax, and I speak for the trees. They all wanted Iran to not get a nuclear weapon. I guess those were their last words. I guess Trump, like the ghost of Christmas future, like the Grim Reaper, communicated with them right before their moment of death. And you know, I'm grateful that the peace president is always there to provide us with assurances and information and tell us that they're still obliterated, so we got to hit them again. Like, just how does that work? And this is funny. It's almost become ripe enough. You know, sometimes when you buy fruit at the grocery store and you're like, man, you know, this mango or whatever, or a banana is a great example. This banana is green. It's not ready to eat. You got to let it sit on the shelf for a few weeks. And my quartering debate with the Quarter Pounder and my debate with Andrew Wilson as well, they're reaching the stage where they're ready to go in the blender and get turned into some beautiful smoothies, some beautiful edits, some beautiful clips, because we had all the rich old men in the world that have been on the world for a long time, and you don't know what you're talking about, boy. All the presidents are bad. You think we ever had a good president? That was the Quartering's argument. The Quartering's argument, after saying things like glass or on, bury them all, after, you know, such illustrious quotes as that, his defense was to come on my show and then claim that he wasn't a political commentator and that these were all jokes, even though he streams on Rumble every single day. So that was truly bizarre. And then we have Andrew Wilson, who had a more principled defense, but equally as psychotic and deranged, saying, well, Trump's, I don't like the quarterback, but you got to support the team. What do we have? You want a Mom Donnie in there? You want a Democrat? You know what they're going to do to all of us? Talking to me like we haven't been persecuted since before he started doing this. Like the arrogance of people that play unk like that, it really irks me. But making the point over and over and over again that this is somehow about to be over. Don't worry. We're going to figure it out. Oh, I think I don't want to quote Andrew Wilson on this, but I think the Quartering even referenced, you know, 1973 War Powers Act. No, it's not even a full war yet. Remember, we were still at that stage. Now we're literally 100 plus days into the war, almost half a year of the conflict. And oh, you're respected. Oh, yes, yes. The opinions of the rich old men who bought stock in the 90s. So they're able to exist in an environment where me as a 23-year-old, I have to hustle and grind and sweat and bleed every single day to make payroll, pay my employees, to make postage, to make rent, to do all the things I need to do to have my business grow in the environment where it's the most hostile it's ever been. And we got the rich old men waddling around. We got the Mark Levin. We got the Dave Rubin. Dave Rubin, who buys his own children. We have this guy say the strait will never be closed.
But Rex, it's better.
It is.
They've got the draft geared up in December to be ready. You get to go fight and die, like the Israeli finance minister said, for Israel.
I know, it's time, right?
You ready to pay? You ready to die,
no.
You good slave?
I'm going to go to Mexico, and I'm going to find the finest millionaire woman, and she's going to love me. And we're going to live together.
Well, inflation, because of Ludnick and everybody, we got to get a trillionaire.
Yeah, you're right.
We got to retire on this woman. She's going to be worth at least $10 billion. That's like $5 million here.
What's Jeff Bezos' widow doing? What's she up to?
Anyways, Rex, let's get serious.
Okay.
You're going to marry Bill Gates'
ex-wife. No, I don't think so.
Hey, being serious here. Yeah. You get to go fight for Israel. Say thank you.
Thank you, Ben Gavir. Please don't throw me in the crocodile pit. Okay? You covered this morning. It was so funny. It's like a cartoon. You remember we used to watch Wacky Races?
Yeah.
With Dick Dastardly and Muttley?
He's always like doing his mustache?
Yeah, we got to do Ben Gavir and a crocodile. You know, Ben Gavir in a crocodile.
No, no. A few days ago, he goes, here's my death chamber where I'm going to murder people.
Yeah.
He goes, look at my crocodiles. Then he's storming the Alaska Mosque to stir up trouble. And then now.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about this.
He's like, I have crocodiles who kill you. And then he's like saying, oh, yeah, the Americans die for us. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, let's talk about this for a second, Dad, because the Al-Aqsa Mosque, them raiding that essentially with the settlers coming in saying, oh, we're looking for weapons, that is a provocation to literally like 2 billion Muslims. So it's beyond insane. He's fomenting nuclear war. That's what that is.
If you see him in every video, he looks completely psychotic.
It looks like Cartman.
I mean, I don't want to be on whatever that guy's on. It's called demon possession.
Yeah.
I think we know where Beelzebub hangs his hat. I think he's got an address right in... Ben Gavir's heart.
The crocodile pit is next level Dr. Evil stuff for sure. Okay, I love you, Dad. I love you.
But I mean, he's literally like, I have crocodile, I kill you. He was on TV two days ago saying, everyone is scared of me. I like them being scared.
Right. He's definitely a character, for real. He's definitely, he knows what he's about, for sure. All right, Dad, this is tripping me out a little bit. All right, I love my dad. You know, growing up here in studio, I remember when he used to send Patrick to have me get suits at Joseph A. Bank. You know, look at this. Look at this. Holding prisoners in struggle positions, shoving them down, beating them down. These are people bringing rice and water to these starving Palestinians. Dad, come here for a second. I interviewed...
You know, the point is he slaps a few of them around.
Sure.
The point is he wants to be a villain.
Sure.
He's like 400 pounds, guaranteed. Guaranteed they're skid more. I mean, he does not wipe his ass. Okay, so this is a giant 400-pound man, probably has like... foot-long hemorrhoids.
Well, he has, like, vampire teeth, too.
And then he just goes around slapping people in handcuffs. Yeah, look.
Wow.
I mean, like I'm in charge. I'm the head minister.
Hey.
I beat people up in handcuffs.
Really quick.
I have crocodile pits.
Really quick. As Americans, are we going to take this anymore? Is this
the
Constitution?
If you don't do what he says, you're going to hell. The Bible says follow insane leaders like King Herod that chopped off John the Baptist's head. Herod should have fed John the Baptist to a crocodile, and John the Baptist is in hell. You do what any Israeli leader says, or you go right to hell. Jesus didn't follow the orders of the Pharisees. He is in hell, as the rabbis say,
Lord have
in
mercy.
Semen and feces, and I agree with the rabbis. Jesus is in semen and feces.
Come on, Dad.
No, it actually says that.
This is what they say.
And John the Baptist is in hell for not doing what Herod said. And we must follow Ben Gavir. We must feed children to crocodiles, or you're of the devil.
We're being illustrative here, but you have to, well, like that, that makes my stomach war, turn.
The anti-Israel people are so retarded too. They go, look, he really means it. I give up.
Well, the idea that we're going to sacrifice our nation and our values, not that we haven't already, but that we're going to further do it.
Beating up flotilla people while they're in handcuffs and threatening people with crocodiles looks tough.
Right.
This is like psychotic with nuclear weapons.
Right. I love you, Dad. You're one in a million. You're a legend.
I want to visit his crocodile snake farm.
You know, you say, hold on, come here for a second. Come on, you can't leave just yet. We're having fun. Let's close out the 5 minutes like this. You remember when I was, I think it was I 13 or was I 14 when you sent me with my granddad to go alligator hunting? When did we do that?
We did that a few times.
Right. We went gator gar fishing too, but the first time we did it, we got the three gators. Remember that?
Yeah, then you got stuck in the 105 degree heat.
Yep.
With the hoverboat.
Yep, in the mud flat, because the guy's like, I'll show you what we can do. And then he gets us stuck, and then granddad and the guy have to go walk a mile to go get a piece of metal to winch us out, and I'm sitting there with a gun and three rotting alligators. So, you know, they should have been crocodiles. We should have been capturing them and selling them. Could have made a lot more money selling supplements.
Well, don't lie. You're Ben Gavir's supplier.
Yeah, you know, hold on. Ben Gavir, we can get him at a cheaper, better price for you. I know you're Jewish, so you like that, right? We can find American alligators. Hey, shouldn't he buy American for this crocodile pit? Shouldn't he buy American, right? Shouldn't he buy American alligators instead of feral, disgusting Nile crocodiles? What do you think, Dad? Should he buy American? Where'd you go?
I know. Nile crocodiles are 10 times bigger than alligators.
Right.
Alligators barely ever attack humans.
But alligators are friend until it eats your dog.
Saltwater crocodiles and Nile crocodiles are like 20 feet long and literally vicious.
They hunt humans.
Brain.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe that's a disguise when he shapeshifts into one. He goes out into the pond at night.
David Icke was right.
Yeah, I know. Actually, there's Ben Gavir right there.
Look, David Icke
that's
was right.
That's when Netanyahu and his, at night, they all turn into that. Oh, God, the Trump.
Whoa, that's the Israeli Knesset. They're having a meeting right now. That's the Israeli Knesset right there. Love you, Dad. All right, we got Fishback joining us here in about 10 minutes. We're looking forward to that. I was supposed to have him on 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God, the Fishback.
Yes, the fish is back. Well, here's the thing, Dad. There was a boomer that worked for Byron Donalds, the thug, and the boomer attacked a gentle boomer in a wheelchair that was just pro-Trump, pro-Fishback. So absolutely brutal, and I'm going to cover that
Is that race over now?
No, it's happening in the fall.
That was a primary, though.
Oh, that's a good question. We'll ask him about that next hour. I love you.
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay.
Ask him.
You're my Ayatollah. How about that? You're my supreme leader.
I think it's actually a cover story.
Hmm?
Ben Gavir knows he gets caught shape-shifting. Those aren't crocodiles. That's the Knesset.
Right.
It's a lounge, the Knesset lounge.
Right. Well, I mean, like, you can go view a miniature version of that at the San Antonio Zoo, you know.
And Ben Gavir's there right now.
You're right. All right, let's cover Ben Gavir more if we're going to do more clips of him. All right, if we're going to talk about Ben Gavir this entire segment. Let's go to... What do we have here? Okay, let's go to clip number 11. Even on Fox News, they're calling out Netanyahu's plan. Let's go to clip 11.
Mr. Prime Minister, do you have a timeline by which you would like to see that U.S. foreign aid down to zero?
Yes. It's military aid, actually. We were talking about beginning it this year and going for 10 years, but we might shorten it. And that was something, by the way, that I did when I was first elected and came to Congress. We had financial, not military support, but financial aid to Israel. And I said on my first speech before the joint session of Congress that we're going to bring it down to zero. And we did that in 10 years. Every year went down until it finally disappeared. We could talk about that model. We're talking about that with the administration right now.
Well, Prime Minister, will that drawing down of foreign aid from the United States to Israel be compensated by the proposal to have a merging of some sort between our Pentagon and your military?
I'm calling it from aid to partnership. So we take away the money that is given to Israel, which is one part. But the other part is we co-invest in equal measures in the new technologies that are needed to give our...
That's like saying, we're going to help you make a payment on your car. By the way, we own it now. That would be kind of the best way I could describe that. Oh, yeah, we're going to give you some money. We own your car now. Basically, we have a mortgage that we have to pay there.
Can I co-invest in Ben Gravier's crocodile pit?
Yeah, it's time to make some money.
Oh, and they found a really good video of him in cabinet meetings. Guys, B-roll, just with the audio off, and I'll say, oh, God, if I have crocodiles, that'll impress the women. Yes, I showed them death chambers last week. I stormed the Alaska Moth today. Oh, God, I love BB. Oh, Satan, enter me. I only want lesser demons inside me. I want Satan to possess me. Oh, I'm Ben Gravier. Oh, God, I'm going to scare you with my crocodile. Look, he looks like he has Down syndrome, which is really sad for Down syndrome folks. But I mean, there's lots of, crocodiles, yes. And I wonder, look at the other guy with his, I mean, these guys literally look like Nazis or something. I watched his old films of Nazis, how crazy they looked.
Well, Smotrich was like, his son was upset because he got severely wounded, and he's like, Dad, I'm not going to be able to keep killing him. He's like, don't worry, they'll all burn. You know, like, that's their whole attitude. There he is. He does not happy enough there. He looks too normal as well. Yeah. Well, can we get some footage of Mark Levin really quick? Can we get some footage of him?
He's always super happy.
Right. Well, he's doing what he loves. Murder. Killing people. Genocide.
Imagine you show up and beat up women that were delivering rice on TV.
And they openly, on record, rape Palestinian prisoners.
Dude, Team America, where Kim Jong-un has a shark tank, he drops people in, it's because he's a villain. It ain't cool.
Well, it's an instruction manual to people like that. That's what we have to understand. All right.
He's dreaming about torture chambers and right in that shot and crocodiles, feeding children to crocodiles. Right there.
All right, look, this show's one in a million. Okay, this has never been done before. We pioneered and invented a new media style over here. So you're sitting here with me in the studio right now. That's pretty fun. Let's go to the thing that I retweeted. I captioned it, wow, so you guys will be able to find it. Just did it. It's a tweet from a senior Iranian MP referencing things that Araghchi has said before, declaring the era of Sykes-Picot long over. The day is not far when you lose Diego Garcia. Like your other colonies, the UK would be wise to reflect on the fragility of its own borders and to recognize that Iran's capabilities extend far beyond military options. So that's a message to the UK, because as you know, the UK has been involved in some of these things, especially MI6, and they're possibly going to get more involved, especially with the launches and whatnot of the planes. The era of Sykes-Picot, you have to understand, that's when the Europeans drew the lines that cut up these nations and cut up the world and put people like the Saudis in charge, right? So the Iranians are the herald of the end of that era. Another name for that era would be Bretton Woods. Another name for that era would be, you know, the 20th century, 19th century at the end, or whatever you want to say. But that's around the time period where you get this control. I highly recommend watching Lawrence of Arabia. That's the homework that I have to prescribe for today. You got to watch Lawrence of Arabia this weekend. This is like the oldest thing. Okay. They've been blowing up trains and doing terrorism and doing whatever. We've been funding the rebels, the tribes, whatever you want to call it. But it was only in the 20th century that we really refined our messaging and programming and control and really used the Saudis as a base to preach Wahhabist, Takfiri, Salafi, radical Sunni Islam. That's what it is, and that's what all these terrorists practice. Who invented that? Basically, the CIA. So the CIA comes up with that, and we have our American military fight these fake proxy wars or prop up rebels or train them directly. I've interviewed people that have trained ISIS members. Okay, and then just say it on record. Special Forces, Matt Murphy, you name it. Okay, look at that. Look at that. But it's all in service of Ben Gavir, right? It's all in service of the archetype of this person, because the Israelis are the only ones that benefit from that mass scale terrorism. I think it was Wesley Clark. I don't want to misattribute a quote. Of course, 7 countries in 5 years. But it's also our stated mission not to have secular democracies in the Middle East. Look at Gaddafi. Look at Assad. Look at a number of other examples that you can point to. Syria, Lebanon, Libya would be three where I would start. Not full secular, but whatever. Right? You're allowed to practice other religion, high standard of living, whatever. They bring in the Al-Qaeda head chopper. They rename him. He comes out of prison for 5 years, speaking English and wearing a Brooks Brothers suit. Al-Shara, formerly Al-Julani, a man who's held human beings' heads in his hands, sprayed by Trump with perfume at the White House and told how masculine he is. So when we get to the idea of the Iranians and their Shia Islam and their radical self-sacrifice martyrdom and their cause, you can point to the apocalyptic 12th Mahdi and all of that stuff is the caller that fought in the Battle of Fallujah referenced earlier today. Ultimately, we went over there and picked a fight with those people. The only reason why those people rebelled and became the Islamic Republic of Iran was because the only place they could meet was the mosque back in the time of the Shah and the secret police. And who did the secret police learn everything from? The Mossad. So it literally all boils back to Israel. And like that is the truth of the situation. But we have 90 million people where 1/3 of their population showed up on the street for the largest funeral procession, not just in modern history, but in world history. 30 million people, 45 million if you count Iraq and other Muslim areas, right? That's who showed up to his funeral. We killed the Pope. 30 million people showed up to his funeral in Iran alone. Do you think there's an amount of tonnage of bombs, an amount of bullets, an amount of lives that we could extract from these people to, you know, end this conflict and make them capitulate, make them bow down? You know, they lost 400,000 people over 10 years fighting a brutal war against Iraq that we funded. Right. We gave Saddam chemical weapons to use on the Iranians, which he did. You can literally watch veterans of these wars talk about this stuff on video. It's all on the record. And then we turn around. We call Saddam Hussein the terrorist because he had the chemical weapons that we gave him. He didn't even have them anymore. Same thing in Syria with the fake chemical weapons attack, which pretty much everyone who's a high level analyst says is not real. It's a fugazi. Right. Never happened. We have Trump, of course, firing the missiles into Syria in 2018. That was the beginning of the worm turning fully. Now, I'm not a fan of things like the Abraham Accords because they're dastardly and they normalize a nation that is an apartheid state. But at the same time, you can point to the first part of Trump's first term as being generally good. Right. And I would just say in general, his foreign policy was better than anyone else's because he didn't start any new wars in his first term. Right. And that is true. It's a complete opposite of what he's done now. It's a big reason why I was co-opted and fooled. You know, I really regret that now. But when he shot the missiles into Syria on false pretext, that was a warning to everyone about what would happen in the future and how easily the United States of America could be maneuvered. Now, you can point at a variety of corrupt individuals in our government that have done heinous military actions and war crimes. All of them. George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, you name it. I mean, think about the bombing of Yugoslavia. Right? Think about Bill Clinton just dropping bombs for, I think, like 72 days for no reason. Like, this has a precedent. But we've never had a person who's so unashamed at being, you know, the most blood-filled liar that we've ever seen. That's Donald Trump. And you can't say that he's not because he says that all the soldiers that died, their dying wish is that Iran would not have a nuclear weapon. I think their dying wish was to get the F home. It's not that complicated. No one wants to fight in these banker wars, these Zionist wars, these Jewish wars. No one wants to do it anymore. How are you going to motivate me to go out to the Middle East and kill myself? You can't. Like, the prospect of joining the military. I'm a young man. I'm 23 years old. I went to the Marine recruiter's office. They put down the tags on the table about dignity and honor and diligence and all that stuff. And I was like, man, I've been yelled at enough in my life. I don't need this. But that's my opinion. But at the time, I really wanted to join. I was seriously thinking about it, considering it. Never. Never, never, never now. Now that I know what I know about Ukraine, about all these other wars I've covered over the course of my life, especially about Israel, because here's the thing. I'm not dying for another country. If we were invaded, if we had to defend ourselves, absolutely. But it is not my role to defend an ally nation. I don't, screw them. I don't care. Why should I care? I want, you know, a super sexy wife. I want to have kids. I want to have a big house. I want to have life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. I want all of my fellow compatriots to have the same thing. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what gender you are, religion, you name it. I want us all to have unfettered and total prosperity. And I believe in that domestically at home. And you cannot tell me after we spent $10 trillion on all this garbage over the past 30 years, probably even more money, that we couldn't have had that for that price tag. And I always hear this thing from people. They go, I don't want to give anyone a free lunch. No free lunches on my part. I got to work and earn. I earned it the way I earned it. The situation we're in is so bad right now, none of us know what's been taken from us. And the standard of living we should have, meaning the price that things should be, is completely bonkers. It's out of this world. We should be living with cheap energy, cheap food, cheap clothing, cheap electronics. Everything should be available and open to the public. The only reason why it's not is artificial scarcity. It's COVID when they shut down the world. It's the Iran war when they shut down the world. It's the Ukraine war when they shut down the world. It's a future Taiwan war where they shut down the world. We never benefit. It's always more war, more death, more murder, more war, more death, more murder, more war, more death, more murder. That's all it ever is. We don't ever get anything domestically at home. You know how much it would cost to have childcare? $140 billion a year. I don't want the government watching my kids. Not in my backyard, not in my country. Would you like a $5,000 tax credit to homeschool your kid? Because that's the same amount of money. Like, I'm sorry. Seriously. All you people that want to hold to these, you know, it's my complex political paradigm, and if you disagree with me on one issue, you're cooked, you're an enemy agent, you're blah, blah, blah. We need a big tent, people. And the big tent is that nobody can afford to live anymore, and nobody's living anymore because Americans are dying in the Middle East for no reason. No reason at all. Except for Ben-Gvir. So just throw him up to end the segment. We'll just look at his face and Heil Hitler. So just go ahead and throw that up really quick, if we can. Just a little Ben-Gvir, you know, waddling around the desert, smacking women in the head, all that stuff. No more of that. We're going to get back into it next segment. Stay with me. We got Fishback coming on the air. You want to stay with me now. War Room, Rex Jones News on Twitter, Instagram. Follow me now, Rex Jones News on Twitter, Rex Jones News on Instagram.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Hey.
Bush is about to be back. I'm checking my text messages right now. I've sent him the link. He'll join us soon. In this first 5 minutes, I want to go through a little bit more news. Let's cover this article from The Telegraph. Oil hits $100 a barrel after Iran-backed Houthis strike two tankers in the Red Sea. Saudi Arabia has grown increasingly dependent on the Bab el-Mandeb Strait since the beginning of the Iran war. Oil has surged past $100 a barrel for the first time in 2 months after the Iran-backed Houthi militia claimed that it struck two Saudi oil tankers on Wednesday night. Brent crude oil prices climbed more than 6 PC on Thursday as strikes threatened to open a new front in the Iran war near a critical trade artery in the Red Sea. Stocks fell heavily on Wall Street following the Houthi strikes, with the S&P 500 down 1 PC and the NASDAQ composite down 2 PC. Higher oil prices have also triggered a sell-off on bond markets. That's what you really got to watch, pushing up the cost of government borrowing around the world. The Yemeni group said that it targeted the Encelia and Layla. Layla got me on my knees, claiming that they had violated its maritime embargo against Saudi vessels in the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. The waterway, which is a choke point between the Red Sea and the Indian Ocean, has become a vital alternative shipping route to the perilous Strait of Hormuz. Saudi Arabia has diverted around 4.7 million barrels of oil exports per day from the Strait of Hormuz to the Red Sea via its Yanbu pipeline, with ships then taking that oil through either the Suez Canal or Bab el-Mandeb Strait. Jim Reed, an analyst at Deutsche Bank, said the Houthi strikes were raising fears that the conflict is widening. I mean, Sherlock, meet the S word, because no blank. Can't say that on air already. Spent my cuss word for today. So what you have to keep in mind is you have Bab el-Mandeb and then you have Strait of Hormuz. The world is being choked right now. But it's only being choked for specific parties. It's being choked for the Saudis and Bab el-Mandeb because they're hosting American troops and they're also violating the ceasefire that they have with Yemen. And the U.S., Israel, and Western countries are being blocked from using the Strait of Hormuz. Can we look up Marine Tracker right now? And can we just take a look at the Strait of Hormuz? We can do that next segment. This is a little short intro segment. Just to keep in mind, like, information is power. This is an InfoWar information operation. You can go look this up for yourself, right? Like, the best propaganda is the truth. Just go look at Marine Tracker. And keep in mind, they were saying the Strait is open, the Strait is open, the Strait is open. Notice how they're not saying that anymore. That was big in the news last week. That was pretty much all we got to cover, right? The Strait is open, the Strait is open. It's choked. This is the reality. So take a look at that. The former traffic, look at how few are actually in the Strait. And the Strait is that middle part right there. The former traffic in the Strait of Hormuz was 150 vessels a day. Right now, I think they're getting like maybe under 10, maybe 10, 20 through a day. And keep in mind, you see kind of to the bottom there, that is the false Omani route that the British Maritime Authority was having ships turn on their transponder and going through. And at the top, you see that's kind of the approved route right there. So we're going to keep an eye on that and go back to that. But we are doing domestic politics this segment because we got James Fishback about to come on the show. There's a powerful boomer attack that I wanted to cover. Also just want to talk to him about his race, where he's at right now. We're going to go to him in the next segment. But I do want to tell you, all right, I'll do a plug for myself. Jones CBD. All right. You want to get the melatonin. You want to get the nano CBD. You want to get the ultra chill ashwagandha theobromine. Check out JonesCBD.com. Why not? I got the best tinctures in the entire world. I got Dreamwave PM for $37.95. That's a full spectrum 1500 milligram tincture combined with blue chamomile and melatonin 3 to 6 milligrams. All for $37.95. And here's the deal. Use code CBD, get an additional 20% off. That's JonesCBD.com. Of course, thealexjonesstore.com with all those amazing offers. But check that out right there. JonesCBD.com. If you're interested in high quality CBD, I have the best, made in Texas, shipped out of here as well. Lab tested COA on the site. I really do have the best prices, you guys. I've been doing this since I was a little kid. I can't help but sell the best products to you. And I'll see you on the next segment with James Fishback coming right up. Really appreciate you staying with me. We got a lot to cover. Mike Adams, third hour as well. For a segment, we're going to talk about AI, AI gods. See you soon.
Lord Vader, the rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance. And we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. Can we go to clip 50?
Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? All I wanted was Clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and make the purchase now.
We got a man here. He's running for Florida governor against Byron Donalds. We got James Fish back. The Fish is back. James, welcome back to the program. Welcome back to War Room Live. Had you on Gray Area. I've had you on New American Journal before, American Journal. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Rex.
Oh, 100%. I don't know what's going on my audio here for a second. James, what's the status of the race right now? How are you campaigning? How are you feeling? What are you doing?
We're second in the polls, which knowing the corrupt media means we're first in the race. We got 26 days to go. We are going to win this. And not just win it for Florida. We are going to send a loud message to every corner of this nation that globalism is dead and the America First movement is the way forward. That's what this campaign has been about since day one, and that's how we're going to win 26 days from now.
Right, right. Now, I think Americans are getting really frustrated about this war, but also on a number of just like the domestic issues aren't seen as important. You know, we're worrying about all these other countries. We got people learning about like Bab el-Mandeb, Strait of Hormuz, all of this stuff. What about the grocery store? You know, what about the gas prices? What about the things that actually impact people's lives? You think there's kind of a mismatch in our leadership right now with what's important?
There is. And look, I respect President Trump enough to just tell him the truth. We are not living in a golden age right now. Look at what's happened to gas prices. We were told that inflation was actually going to come down. It hasn't. And so I'll always be honest with my own party because I swear an allegiance not to the Republican establishment, but to the United States of America. And right now, things are not that much better than they were a year ago. Obviously, it's better that President Trump won than Kamala Harris, but there's still so much more work to do. And I fear that the kitchen table issues, the cost of living crisis, H-1Bs, the lack of deportations, the real issues that Americans voted for when we gave President Trump this extraordinary opportunity in November of 24, those issues are taking the back seat and foreign policy issues are taking the front seat. Most Americans don't want to know about the Strait of Hormuz, period. They'd much rather their gas prices be back to where they were when President Trump was in office the first time around. I think we can get back to that. And that's why, of course, I still support President Trump, because I still think there is time to turn this ship around.
What is that timeline, though? Because it seems like we're pretty much like on that razor. You know, we're on that razor's edge.
Well, we are, especially given what happened yesterday with Congress voting to merge parts of the U.S. military with Israel's. People are saying, well, it's not really a merger.
Right.
Of course it's a merger. You can call it a strategic partnership. You can call it the deepening of a bipartisan military alliance. It's a merger.
Yeah. No,
and I, you know, I was in the business world for a decade. I spent a lot of time studying mergers and acquisitions at my investment firm. This is a clear-cut textbook merger between the United States military and the Israeli military. And by the way, forget whether it's Israel or not. It could be New Zealand. It could be the UK. It could be Canada. You do not merge a sovereign military of our country with any other military.
Right.
Because our friends are not their friends. Our enemies are not their enemies.
Exactly. Exactly. Washington said, beware of foreign entanglements. I don't know how you get a bigger foreign entanglement than having an executive agent that's a secondary Department of Defense, Department of Warhead, that only answers to either the president or the DOW chief, not to Congress. They only have to submit a report once a year. You know, hey, don't worry. They include everything, but if it's too sensitive, they can make it classified. So it's open and public. And I think people, they get wrapped up in the semantics a lot of the time. They want to play word games. It's very simple and clearly outlined in the document. I mean, how much investment, let's think about it, $500 billion Project Stargate, how much investment we put into AI? How much investment have we put into building these missile systems? How much investment total, we're talking decades, years and years and years, billions, perhaps even trillions of dollars of American taxpayer money. And then essentially, it's like somebody says, okay, well, you have a car payment. I'm going to help you with that car payment. Now I own the vehicle. That's how I see it. That's how I can kind of draw an analogy there. What do you think of that?
That's exactly right. And the question ultimately becomes, who is actually in charge of the U.S. military at the end of this? Right? Are we more in charge of the military after the passing of Section 219 of the National Defense Authorization Act? Or are we less in charge? Are we more sovereign or are we less sovereign? No, James, it's not that complicated. Yeah, it's actually really that simple. And that's what we have to fight back on. And that's why it's rather fitting that my opponent, Byron Donalds, a so-called Republican, proudly voted to merge parts of the American military with that of Israel's military. This cannot be anymore. We cannot, Rex, and you guys have been so spot on about this. Just because someone calls themselves a Republican does not mean they are an ally of the conservative movement. Byron Donalds can call himself whatever he wants, but if he's going to vote to merge our military with a foreign country's, no Republican, no genuine Republican. What would Ronald Reagan say about that? What would Teddy Roosevelt say about that? But that is the real issue at hand.
I think the thing is with Byron, I don't think he cares because I think he's a thug. He's a criminal. He's a drug dealer. Like, this is who he's not somebody that should be governor or president or a congressperson or a senator. Ultimately, the attitude of someone that allegedly intimidates women in grocery stores and does all these things, that's the attitude of somebody that's going to support a war because they're not smart enough to understand why they should be against it. The same with the NDAA. Maybe he thought that was a type of food. He was signing up to get something new at the cafeteria. It is what it is. Byron didn't understand it, but his staffers did, his handlers did. And that'll be the position Florida will be in once or if he manages to slither his way in. What do you think about
that? That's exactly right. Well, I think Byron Donalds is the Trojan horse. He is the vessel. I don't have an issue with the man himself. I mean, we can go through his history of convicted felonies, the fact that he cheated on his first wife, knocked up his mistress, married her. We can get through all of that. But the real issue, Rex, is who controls Byron Donalds? The same staffers that got him to sign off on merging our military with Israel's, those are the same staffers that are going to be in the governor's mansion here in Tallahassee. They are the ones that are going to dictate policy. When you're hiring James Fishback as governor, you're hiring an independent thinker to go in there and tell the deep state no, to tell the swamp get out, to actually stand up for our constitutional liberties. Because you either work for the people or your staff is actually enabling and controlling you. That's right. The real test of a leader nowadays.
Yeah, I just think these are a lot of like fake careers these politicians have, you know, where it's just literally an empty suit. It's like, well, you know, I kind of look like one. So they put me in ads and gave me the AIPAC money and boom, I got a job. And I think the majority of Americans, I know Texans are waking up to this. I assume Floridians are as well. People across the entirety of the 50 states. These people just, they're not doing their job because they're not capable of doing the job. I talk about this with Tim all the time. We don't have a representative democracy, don't have a republic anymore, because you look around, it's like they're from the moon, you know, and not from the sense of being like, you know, different. They look just like you or me, but it's somebody who literally exists in a false framework of the universe where they're the important person and they go to Congress and they pass the bills. All the while, they're not doing anything. They're just being used by the people around them, by the money interests, by the staffers, like you say. I think that this is so common. I think it's affecting our president right now heavily, heavily. It's a smothering effect. Do you see that?
I think it is as well. And, you know, the fact that the president spoke so openly about foreign policy when he ran in 2016, it's because he didn't take AIPAC money. And the truth of the matter is that Miriam Adelson cut Donald Trump a check for $242 million when he was running for election in 2024. Of course, that changed his thinking. Gosh, I want the Donald Trump back from 2015 and 2016, who wanted to ban all immigration from the fanatical Middle Eastern countries. I want the Donald Trump that says, Israel, no, we control you. You don't control us. If you ever get a penny from the United States, you don't get to ever tell us how to run our country. That's the Trump we want back. And that's what I'm running to bring back here in Florida, is that founding father energy. 1776 for a James Madison or a Thomas Jefferson, 1980 for a Ronald Reagan, 2016 for a Donald Trump, and then 2018 for a Ron DeSantis. Those are the types of leaders that we need at this particular moment in time. And it's rather disturbing that at a time when we should be celebrating our 250 years of independence, we are instead celebrating the fact that we have just surrendered the fight for independence to irrevocably tie ourselves to a foreign country. The very thing that our first president warned us against. Our founding fathers are rolling over in their graves to think that Byron Donalds, supported and voted for merging the American military with Israel's, we must stand up for the America First movement.
Right. It's a disappointment to the Constitution that we have everybody, Democrat and Republican, signing on and voting for this. And it shows the problem is really endemic. And it shows that candidates like yourself, many other candidates in the future that are going to be kind of in that either running inside a party or running kind of with that like independent 1776 spirit. I think that's super important because what are we conserving here? Exactly. We're conserving right. Israel. Is that what we're conserving? Or are we conserving American values? Are we conserving our land, our resources, our people? I didn't know anything about the orange trees before I talked to you. And now I know a bunch about them. I know about this greening phenomena. And I know that Byron Donalds is a lot more worried about the data center and the fat checks that will come in as a result of that than actually preserving the thing that your state is known for. Since I was a little boy, I always thought Florida meant oranges, right? I think Byron thinks it means data centers.
That's exactly right. You ask anybody in the country, even in the world, when you think Florida, what fruit do you think of? What thing? You think of oranges.
Right.
And when I was down in Frostproof, when I was down in Fort Meade in Highlands County, and these towns were bustling when I grew up, and now they are vacant. They are abandoned. And it's because we gave up on the citrus industry. That doesn't just affect citrus families. That it doesn't just affect citrus workers.
It's the whole economy.
Any business, any diner, hotel, restaurant that depended on the income of men and women who would work an honest day's labor for an honest day's wage, they're being given the backseat. But Byron Donald says, no, it's okay. We'll build the data center with Mark Zuckerberg or George Soros's money. And guess what? If you want a job, wow, we'll give two dozen of you a job and you can unplug and replug Ethernet cables all day. When we want jobs for American citizens that are actually fulfilling.
Yes.
Remember that movie Holes where Shia LaBeouf just digs holes all days? Those are the kind of jobs that AI data centers are going to give you.
Right.
You unplug a cable, you replug an AC unit back in because it's too hot. Those things don't actually create value for Florida. And that's what I fear, is that this has all come down to a dollar equation. 100 calories of orange juice is not the same thing as 100 calories of Pepsi. 10 ounces of water is not the same thing as 10 ounces of Hennessy. But yet right now, Republicans and Democrats are telling us that $10 million of an AI data center investment is better than $9 million of industry for citrus or for cattle or for watermelon, whatever the case it is. And so I want to take a holistic approach that rejects the idea that you can determine whether something's good or bad depending on how much money it raises for a community, but what it actually does for the community. Is there a great need? Does it enrich? Does it create long-term jobs? And does it respect the environment, the land, the water, the air that we have been bequeathed with? That's not a political position. That's biblical. Genesis 2 says that we are commanded to love what God has given us. And that's what I'm running to do as Florida's next governor.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's a key point to make. Young people want skills. They want to feel like they actually have agency within the world. And when I watch one of these Byron Donalds events, and this is why I cover this race in the depth that I do, I cover this like every week. I talk about the latest stories regarding it, is because it really is emblematic for the country. I think about Ron DeSantis, Andrew Gillum, and that crossroad there. And I think about this much in the same way. Of course, he's the Andrew Gillum in that example, and you'd be Ron DeSantis. But the whole idea of a candidate who's completely corporate captured, who supports these big money, big ticket policies versus somebody like yourself. What has it been like competing against the media machine that they have access to, doing that yourself, doing your own info war, if you will?
Well, I've always been grateful for you, Rex, to give me the opportunity to come on and speak to your viewers. I've long enjoyed the work that you all do. What I'll tell you is there's no substitute for showing up.
Right.
I am the first candidate in Florida history to run for governor to visit all 67 Florida counties, the big ones like Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, and the small ones like Liberty, Lafayette, and Dixie. I'm the only one to have shown up and met with voters and heard what keeps them up at night, but also what excites them and gets them out of bed in the morning. That's what I'm fighting for to be Florida's next governor. I'll tell you, my generation is staring down the prospect that, unlike their parents and grandparents, they may not be able to own a home. Yes. They may not be able to get a great paying job because we've flooded the country with cheap foreign labor, and not just from Central and South America, from India, Pakistan, Thailand, and China. They're actually, despite the fact of having great GPAs and test scores, they're not even getting into Florida colleges like USF, UF, or FSU. Why? Because we've accepted that Chinese and Middle Eastern foreign students get a place at the front of the line ahead of kids from Jacksonville, Miami, or Orlando. I've said that as Florida governor, I will raise the tuition on foreign students to $1 million a year. When they can't pay recs, they're out. Florida kids are back in, and their dreams, their destinies, their futures restored. Because in Florida, we put Americans at the front of the line, not foreign nationals who will never truly be American.
Wow. Think about this as an example. Think about, you know, a Byron Donalds event where the median age is like 80 years old, right? And we got older people that are awake and they get it and they support people like you, right? But there's a lot of people that have been on that program, on that protocol, shall we say, kind of the neocon protocol. They're just addicted to it and their brains kind of crystallized around it. Eventually, whether it's this election, I hope it's this election, but eventually in the future, not just in Florida, around the U.S., there's going to be a time where a candidate like Byron Donalds walks into that room and ultimately, you know, there's not going to be 300 people in there waiting to play bingo. It's just, it's going to be crickets, and the young people are going to be here. Okay. I'm going to be here in 50 years, right? I'm thinking about my country. I'm thinking about my future, what that means for me and the people around me, my friends, right? My friends. In the past, think about the concept of vacations. Think about the concept of going to Europe. Think about the concept of, you know, going out to eat, having a fun time, having a good time. Everyone I know is desperately either building a team, working three jobs, or hustling and bustling, doing everything they can just to make ends meet. It's not even with the prospect of owning a home. And I hear this a lot from people that are a little bit older, and I do understand it, but especially people that are really older. The thing is, you're able to buy a house working three jobs back in the day. You can't do that anymore. You can't even take care of your family that way anymore. What do you have to say to kind of the Zoomer economy and how you'd like to reform that?
Well, first, I'd like to be honest, is that the stock market doesn't matter and neither does so-called gross domestic product. In Florida, GDP is up 80% in the last 10 years. Does anyone who lives in Florida, is their life 80% better, 80% richer, 80% more self-sufficient? Of course not. GDP is merely a measure of consumption plus investment plus government spending plus net exports. How on earth could that measure the likelihood that you get a great paying job, own your home, marry a God-fearing woman, raise God-fearing children, live out the full arc of the American dream? I believe what I'm fighting for is an economic vision that does three things. Number one, you, by the age of 30, should be able to buy a home and get married. Number two, you and your wife should be able, if you so choose, to raise your children on a single income. And number three, when it's time for you or your parents or grandparents to retire, they should be able to do so with dignity. And all of that comes back to an America First economic agenda. Let's talk about being able to buy a home before the age of 30. Well, to buy a home, you got to have a job. If you have a bunch of illegals and H-1Bs flooding your labor market, good luck keeping a job and getting a good wage. So if you want to let young men get a great job, you got to kick the H-1Bs to the curb. That's why as Florida governor, I'm fighting to get the H-1Bs out of our labor market by taxing any Florida company that uses them into oblivion. Those jobs will come back to Floridians. Those young men will have a great wage, will have a great job, and will be able to actually buy that home. But when they go to bid on that home, Rex, they have to know that it's a fair housing market, that George Soros, Steve Schwarzman, and Larry Fink, the largest hedge fund and private equity billionaires in this country, that they are not putting their thumb on the scale. Right now, Blackstone alone owns 117,000 single family homes in the state of Florida. That's 117,000 homes that could go to cops, corrections officers, firefighters, nurses, teachers, small business owners, barbers, who do not have a chance to actually own because they want to turn our housing market, our neighborhoods, into the next financial derivative. And I'm going to ban Blackstone, BlackRock, private equity, and hedge funds from buying up homes. And the last thing is for our seniors. You can never tell them that we are going to cut their Social Security. You want to cut Social Security? Why don't you start with the illegal aliens that are collecting government welfare? Why don't you start with the $7,000 a month that the illegal aliens in New York and Chicago got when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were destroying this country? Why don't you put Social Security money into higher yielding investments so our seniors don't have to cut corners? I will always fight for Social Security for my parents and my grandparents because they paid into it, they worked hard, and they deserve every single penny back.
I think it's also a fair point to mention that a lot of the older people aren't doing too well. You know, a lot of people are pushing the grocery carts and they're, you know, 75, 80 years old. They're still having to work because the economy, unless you kind of, you know, wield and deal a little bit and grifted a little bit in the 90s or whatever, you know, you're broke, you know, even if you are old. So I think this is a universal experience. The Zoomers, the Boomers, and everyone in between are starting to notice, you know, just kind of that aegis of prosperity isn't there anymore. And that's directly related to these foreign wars, to these foreign conflicts, to foreign nations that have political action committees that lobby for our domestic policy, which if you think about that, that's a little bit insane. If it was the Nigerian American PAC, or if it was the Laotian American PAC, if it was the whatever, I would say, hey, you know, why are we fighting all these wars in Laos all the time? And they say they don't have any influence, right? So it's an excellent distinction to make that if you just point at any example like Mad Libs, you can plug it in. It doesn't work. It's a broken equation. I think people see that.
That's exactly right. And that's why the whole you're an anti-Semite is just such a ridiculous allegation for anyone who's criticizing the U.S.'s relationship. Because Rex, you and I would criticize it just the same if it were India, if it were Nigeria, sure. If it were New Zealand. It doesn't matter. When you give millions of dollars to Democrats and Republicans the same, who then send billions of dollars abroad and then look to the 2,300 vets who will sleep on Florida streets tonight, to the 415 citizens who will be evicted from their homes in Florida tonight, and say, we have no money for you, but we have money for other countries, that is a disgrace.
Yes.
And that's why that same mentality of America First has to be brought to states like Florida, and that is what I'm fighting for.
Right. And America First isn't a slogan. You know, it's a way of life, and it's a way that we should all live, trying to put our country first and trying to take care of our neighbors. That's literally the number one commandment is love thy neighbor. That's the most important thing. And you're not loving your neighbor if you're voting for their enslavement, which is what you're doing if you vote for Byron Donalds. And I'm truly of that opinion. It's truly disturbing that, you know, $41 million can get pumped in, all the PAC money, all the AIPAC money, all the lobbyists and various handlers around him. I really appreciate what you're doing because you are somebody that's going to be seen as a prototype in 2028 and 2032 of people saying, hey, I can go out there 10 times a day. I can do 5 interviews a day. I can make this happen on my own because I'm real and they're not. And that's the key distinction, right? It's like, you know, one of those cardboard cutouts that has the face open, you know, like a restaurant or something, and it's like a buff guy and like a little kid can stand behind it. All you got to do is walk around and you'll see it's a little kid. It's not some big scary guy. And that's how I view Byron Donalds is, you know, it's just like the Wizard of Oz or somebody pulling the lever. Byron's like, I am the great and incredible Byron, right? He makes that claim. But you go around the corner, you know, it's a little like nerdy college guy who probably works for Israel. So that's my opinion, of course. What's your take?
Well, my take is you're absolutely right. And this is why you can't take people at their word. You have to see and pop open the hood. Who's paying you? When you take money from AIPAC, when you take money from hedge fund billionaires, when you take $5 million, as Byron Donald did, from a Mark Zuckerberg-led AI super PAC for data centers, that's 5 million reasons Byron Donald is going to sell us short and build an experimental hyperscale data center across from our kids' elementary school. You got to follow the money. And that will tell you where someone's heart and soul really is. And my fear is the soul of Florida is on the ballot. That's why we have to vote in this election on August 18th to stop the data centers and protect our sovereignty.
Wow. Thank you, James. Stay with me. We're going to be right back. I want to ask you about this incident with the staffer, the Byron Donald staffer, who's on too much TRT. I guess he got a little handsy. I want to talk about the upcoming election and more. Stay with me. James Fishback, what's that website? Real quick.
Fishback2026.com.
Fishback2026.com. Check it out, guys. Maybe get some merch for yourself. We'll see you after these messages.
Fight for our sovereignty, to fight, to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that. But the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
This shower filter slays 95% of the lead, 99% of the chlorine, and keeps that damn atrazine out of your water. Protect yourself. Don't let them turn you gay. Purify it now.
Mother, do you really want to shower with me? Do you want to clean everything? Oh, mother!
I'm not gay. You are.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We're doing the second hour, second half, second segment, James Fishback, Florida gubernatorial candidate, running against Byron Donalds. On the break, we were just talking about how a Ted Cruz-aligned PAC has spent over $10 million, or spent $10 million during the World Cup to run AI ads of you. And we were having this discussion. I look at what happened to Massey, right? And it's very similar to what happened to you, as in the sense of they have AOC, Ilhan Omar. They have him eating dinner with them. They have you opening a door, essentially, right? I think that's what's in the ad, if I remember. And that's right. defamation, because some person in the nursing home that has a mail-in ballot is going to see that, have dementia, and believe that it's real. And they know that. They know that, James. What do you think?
Well, let me just first and foremost say I've never met AOC, nor would I ever want to. I think she's a radical communist who, if given the chance, would utterly destroy this country. You know, a rose by any other name is just as sweet. Communism by any other name is just as vile. And make no mistake, Democrat socialism is communism. With that being said, this AIPAC-aligned super PAC ran $10 million against us, perhaps the greatest white pill, by the way, $10 million against us in the middle of these World Cup games, saying Fishback's a threat, you can't let Fishback anywhere near office, etc., etc. One of the things had me depicted as a cartoon fish that had gotten pulled over into this canoe, and the first words, as if it were an attack, was white genocide is real.
Wow.
White genocide is real, and I'm running for governor to stop it. White people are being replaced in this country. The founding stock of this nation was white, and the demographic great replacement that's happening right now needs to be ended. Whether it's legal or illegal immigration, it must be neutered once and for all, or we will lose the United States as we know it once and for all.
Yeah, I think this is an important point to make. I mean, white people are under attack. Foundational Americans are under attack in general. This replacement with the third world, ultimately the project is you bring people in that are used to a lower standard of living where they don't have rights. You replace them, you replace the native native population with them. And then you essentially have this permanent underclass, these serfs, to do what you want. You can look at Europe. They're much farther down the road than we are, but only a little bit. And you can already see the fruits of what's happening with that. And I think anyone that denies that, anyone that doesn't talk about it, anybody that doesn't pay attention to it is part of the problem.
That's exactly right. And the part of the problem is that Democrats have imported millions of fanatics for years wanting cheap, reliable votes. And Republicans have been okay with it for years as well, wanting cheap agricultural labor. Right. And it wasn't that the New York Times in 2022 wrote this great story. I don't typically praise the New York Times, but it was good reporting about a young 14-year-old boy from Central America working the midnight shift at a meat processor in the Midwest who lost his arm. What on earth is a large meat processor doing hiring a 14-year-old, trafficking a 14-year-old boy from Central America? Not because he's better at the job, but because he's cheaper, he won't expect the same rights as another worker, and because he can be exploited. And it's time to be honest about what the migration has done to the United States as we know it.
And let's be honest about American immigration, especially legal immigration. We are the most generous nation on earth. We are the richest people, and we take between 1 to 2 million, last time I looked at it, a year. And that's legally. It doesn't even mention, you know, the 10, if not 20 million people that came in under Biden when he literally said, surge the border. It's on tape. I tell people that all the time. They're like, nah, that's not real. Come on, man. And then I pull out my phone and I save it. And I'm like, well, here you go. Here's the proof in the pudding right there. So Americans vote for a policy of the wall in 2016. That doesn't get built. Americans vote for mass deportation in 2024. That doesn't happen. What can you do, like, from a regional gubernatorial position as governor?
Well, this is a great question. And people often say, well, you know, you're governor, so immigration's not your, it's a federal issue. Absolutely not. Anything that happens in Florida is my responsibility. Any problem that faces Floridians, I will solve. Here's how you solve the illegal immigration plague in Florida. Three ways. Number one, you tax remittances at 50%. If the 1.3 million illegal aliens who live in Florida had to pay a 50% remittance to send their money back to Guatemala, Haiti, guess what? They're just going to go to Guatemala or Haiti because you've now removed the foreign arbitrage between the dollar being so highly valued in these poor foreign countries. So now if you say your dollar literally loses 50% of its value the moment you go and try to remit it, then those people say, you know what, the jig is up. I'm just going to go back and work my wage and not have to pay this 50% remittance. That's number one. Number two, the children of illegal immigrants should not be allowed to attend public schools. Plyler v. Doe was wrongly decided in the 1980s. I, as the governor of Florida, will direct my commissioner of education to begin unenrolling any student in our schools, elementary, middle, or high school, who is not legally authorized to be here. Send them out of the schools immediately. Now, what does that do realistically? Well, now if you're an illegal immigrant family and you got seven kids between our public schools, now the free daycare is over. The free childcare is over.
Right.
And now you have to say, well, my remittances are getting taxed at 50%. My eight kids are sitting around my double wide trailer all day. What do I do? Now here's the third one. Here's the real punch. The third one is You give illegal immigrants 30 days. You garnish every financial asset they have in Florida, every bank account, every savings account. You garnish everything they own. And you say, if you leave of your own volition within 30 days, we will wire you all the money that we have garnished. Those three things, without deploying a single immigration officer, without deputizing a single sheriff, those three things will lead to upwards of 500,000 illegals leaving in 3 months. That's how you get the job done. I respect law enforcement enough to know that this is not really a law enforcement task. You have to use the financial powers of our system to shut them out completely. You don't have a right to send your kids to our public schools when you're here illegally. You don't have a right to send unlimited money back to Haiti when you're here illegally. And you don't have the right to earn interest at our banks when you're here illegally. Shut them out of the financial system. That's what I will do as governor, and every single one of them will leave in very court order.
That's a good example of nonviolent America First policy. And people oftentimes, like, you know, it's like you're giving Democrats or whoever a free win, you know, when you're taking people and smashing car windows out and grabbing them and whatever, right? But if you're just saying, hey, we're going to garnish your wages, you can't go to the public school, and hey, you got 30 days to get out, I think that's a lot more of a reasonable policy. Here's the thing. I, as someone that's 23, as someone that's only been able to vote for like 5 years, basically, it's not my fault that my country is degraded, right? And I'm sorry that you're here and it's a good system for you and, hey, it's your family and you're working. My family was here 200 years ago. I'm sorry. This is my country. It's not your country. I'm sorry. I come from Mexico. Mexico has a wall on its border blocking the Guatemalans out. When the caravans came, they opened the door and sent them to us. So no one else around the world operates with this suicidal empathy. And I don't like GadSad, where that term comes from, but it is true. No one else operates with that level of just, you know, it's the dodo bird. It really, really is the dodo bird phenomenon, James. And I want to talk about this a bit more, but I do want to get into this. I want to ask you the question about the powerful boomer attack. So you were at this event. I want you to kind of intro it a little bit. And this Byron Donald staffer got a little handsy, actually very handsy, very aggressive. And I mean, when I see videos like this, it really makes me mad because, you know, in a civil environment like this, especially a political one where, you know, got people running against each other, you have like a system that's set up, it's supposed to be done the right way, running around and acting like a middle school bully, knowing that, you know, you're tapped in with the cops or the authorities and nobody's going to touch you. I got a real problem with that. I think it's what thugs do. And I think it's very emblematic that a thug, just a term for anybody, you know, works for Byron Donalds like that.
Yeah, the birds of a feather fly together. We certainly know that. And what happened was, is Byron Donalds was speaking at a Collier County Republican Executive Committee meeting, the same executive committee that had hired me, asked me to come down to speak a month prior. I happened to be in town with my wife having dinner, and a couple people who were in the meeting said, hey, could you stop by? And I said, sure. I stopped by. I didn't get 3 feet into the door before multiple armed people working for Byron Donalds shoved my security, pushed him back, said, get the F back right now or you're all getting locked up. This is how they treat a fellow Republican. This is how they treat us. They don't treat us like an equal. They treat us like a less than equal. And that's why we have to stand up. There's no place for violence in our politics.
What
we saw there is representative of who Byron Donalds is. I'll tell you right now, if someone from my campaign ever put hands without justification on another supporter or another candidate, I would be the first to condemn it and I would hold them accountable. Byron Donalds should do the same. The individual who put his hands on our security, who pushed us back, thrust us back, sent expletives our way, that is no way to treat a fellow American. And another young man, his father was in a wheelchair.
Yes.
And then he went right up to him. And so what is this? What is going on here? This is not how you treat people that you have political disagreements with. This is merely a political disagreement. Byron Donalds has one vision for Florida. It's actually very similar to his native New York, where he was born and raised until he was 18 years old, where we build, build, build. We lay out concrete. We have cranes that line our skyline. We're a little bit different here in Florida. I know Byron doesn't know that because he's not actually from here, but I'm from here. I was born and raised here. My family's been here for four generations. And I can tell you, as someone who fished in the Keys, who hunted in the Everglades, who went on airboats every other weekend, who saw citrus firsthand, This is the state that I know and love, and I don't want to see a carpetbagger from New York come right here and pave it over for Mark Zuckerberg to become a trillionaire with another 100 data centers in Florida.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's literally the archetype, the carpetbagger, the person that comes in, you know, to buy up a devastated area and then to monopolize everything to build a company town. I think that exemplifies who Byron Donalds really is. Do we have those videos, guys? Can we go ahead and show some of those? The thing is, when you do stuff like this, is that Stafford did, you're the weakest person in the room. And when you attack somebody that's in a wheelchair, I mean, good Lord. Imagine not even thinking politically how that plays, being so power mad and crazy, thinking you can literally get away with the political equivalent of murder, that you do something like that. It really is crazy. Okay, we got the AI ad now of you. Let's go ahead and play audio of that really quick. We can add audio to that.
Whoa! White genocide is real, and I'm running for governor to stop it. On my first day, we will suspend the enforcement of the unconstitutional anti-Semitism law.
You want to throw this fish back? We can't throw this fish back. He'll ruin the other fish. If we don't throw this fish back, what do we do?
Election Day, keep James Fishback out of office.
The Frontline Action is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, I'm back now. Okay, I'm trying to find those other two clips of the Power Mad Boomer, but they played this in front of, you know, millions of people, and they spent tens of millions to do it. James, how does it feel to be the fish in the boat, I guess?
Well, you know, it's so funny. I've been called every name under the sun, fish fluids, fish everything from elementary school on. This is actually a pretty amusing ad. Look, I laugh at this stuff because, sure, one, it's comical, it's silly, but two, it is such a white pill to see them spend that kind of money that foolishly this close to the election. Their internal polling has us winning this race. We will fight for the America First movement. We will deliver a historic upset. When I was last on your show, I was polling in the single digits, it seemed. Now we are neck and neck with Byron Donalds, and New York Times certified pollster has us there, and we are going to win this thing. If you're in Florida, I'm asking you to go to fishback2026.com. Look at our platform. Let's earn your vote by August 18th. If you're out of the state, go and call somebody. Everybody knows somebody in Florida. Call your friend, your family in Florida, and let them know if they're a Republican, they got to vote James Fishback on August 18th if they want to stop data centers, block Flock, and protect the state that we love by enshrining our principles from the U.S. Constitution. And the last thing I'll say is to anybody watching, our support right now depends on working grassroots Americans all over this country. We'll never take a penny from AIPAC, never take a penny from a corporate super PAC. We need support from people watching at home. If you can go to fishback2026.com and donate anything, it would be unbelievably appreciated, because we're up against AIPAC, their $10 million AI fish slop ads, and even $10 or $15 from you today will be enough for us to win this election in 26 days and deliver true America First movement.
Hey, you got t-shirts, right? You got t-shirts available.
We got t-shirts, we got hats. All of that goes toward our campaign.
Right. And I think it's a no-brainer. I know I ordered my t-shirt. I got that. So I need you guys to go do that as well. Here's the thing. We got to beat Byron. We can't let him become the governor of Florida, because it's going to be, you know, bellwether for the country. If James wins this race, it's going to be a huge signal, not just to the Republican Party, but just to everyone independently minded as well, that, you know, we do have a chance here. We can, you know, beat the political machine. We are capable of running against that engine. Let's go ahead and show these clips of the Boomer rage. Wow. What a monster.
Why is not letting fish back in? Why are you not letting fish back in?
You talk to my son that way. The one in the hat.
Pause it. Okay, that's like a 70-year-old man on testosterone replacement therapy. Way too much of it, by the way. I know you got a lot of those clinics down there in Florida. He needs to take a few weeks off at least. There's a lot of redness going on there, a lot of rage. And look at that guy. Look, no, go back to that. Look at how that guy is looking at. He's like, what is going on with Unk? What do you think?
And play that right there. You'll see this. Play that right there.
I play it? Oh, is that where it ends? Just tell us what happens there.
So, yeah, he pushes our security back. This is not, again, not even being 3 feet into a meeting that's open to all Republicans.
Right.
Let's see this. Let's see that.
Yeah.
This is how they treat us.
Yeah.
This is how I'm an officially qualified candidate for governor, polling in second, nearly tied for first. We're bringing on young people all over this state.
Well, hold on.
This close to winning the primary, yes. And this is how they treat us, with actual violence. You know, when I said Byron Donalds was a thug, I was kind of being cheeky. He's actually a thug.
Yes.
Because a thug is someone who cannot have the temperament to have a civil disagreement about policy, the temperament to have a disagreement about the direction of AI data center regulation or the Second Amendment. This is the kind of guy who just does not have the IQ to be able to sit down and hash it out with rhetoric, that he actually needs to put hands on people. Again, he was born and raised in Brooklyn. He was born and raised by a single mom. I understand the systemic factors, I guess, in his life, but that does not give him an excuse to come throw hands on our people, our supporters.
Right.
In that moment, I wasn't fearful for me. I was fearful for the gentleman who's supporting Fishback, who's sitting in a wheelchair there wearing a Fishback hat. That's not okay. That's not fair.
No, 100%. And, you know, I view it as a really evil action to do that to somebody who, of course, is disabled and can't fight back. Of course, you're only picking on them because you're afraid of everybody else. And I want to go back to that clip for a second where he does the push and we have it from that other angle. He's very clearly there. He's like, come on, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's fight. That's not a joke. You know, that's not just a little like, it's a little liberal shove. That guy's on male hormones. He's a male to male transgender and he's ready to brawl.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I'll tell you, my security, RJ, is an incredible man. And in that moment in time, he could have easily stood his ground, drawn his weapon, and things could have gotten very, very ugly. I want to thank RJ for his composure there, because we, you know, people would say, well, Fishback deserved it. We showed up to a Republican meeting as Republicans.
Right.
We showed up in suits to listen to a meeting where a couple hundred people were there. You heard the chants in the room. Let Fishback in. Let Fishback in. That is perhaps the best analogy for this entire primary. A bunch of stuffy, elite people from the Republican establishment controlling a meeting where the actual meeting attendees want us to come into the meeting, but they are guarding the doors and willing to use physical force stop us.
Look at this. He's grabbing people by their shirts. He's crazed. He's initiating violence. I mean, just go back to the guy in the wheelchair. Because you're talking about your security a little bit. I don't know how I would feel if I was constitutional carry, concealed carry, and I saw somebody trying to strangle a guy in a wheelchair. If I saw that from, you know, 30 yards away across the room, you know, that guy in the wheelchair, I know he could get killed really quick. He's right there. He's vulnerable. He can't defend himself, right? So it's really monstrous to think that the ideal for someone like Byron is to hire a gangster that would do something like this. And like you said, I think it's an excellent saying, birds of a feather flock together. And I think that's what all this is. Of course, when you're advocating for data centers, when you're advocating to hollow out your state in exchange for H-1B visas and foreign immigrants and illegals, you're trying to do all this stuff. I don't think you can call yourself America First, a patriot, or even a Republican. I don't know what Byron Donalds is. I think he's just a criminal.
I think he's a criminal too, and it's because what he's doing right now is he's trying to sell our state off to the highest bidder. Floridians have long appreciated that we don't want 10, 20, 30, 40 million dollars if it means giving up the Everglades, giving up our wetlands, giving up what's happening on the Gulf or on the Atlantic, giving up our wildlife. The Florida Panther is sacred in Florida. The flamingo is sacred in Florida. Even the alligator is sacred in Florida. We don't want to lose these things so Mark Zuckerberg can get rich. What does it profit a man to inherit the whole world but to lose his soul?
And absolutely.
Guess what? The soul of Florida is on the ballot, and I am fighting. I am fighting to preserve the heart and soul of a state that my father knew, my grandfather knew, my great-grandfather knew. I'm a proud fourth-generation Floridian. I was born here. I will die here. And I am fighting for a Florida that we love, and I'd be honored to have folks vote on August 18th in the primary.
Powerful interview, James. Where do people find you again?
Fishback2026.com Follow us because we're hosting more in-person events across the state. Make sure you're showing up to vote on August 18th for the Republican primary. You cannot sit this one out. Never before in Florida politics has there been two candidates at the top of the ballot who have just such radically, radically different visions. I'm the only candidate who is fighting to stop data centers, block Flock, get the H-1Bs out, ban private equity from buying up our homes, protect the First, Second, and Fourth Amendments, and deliver a nation that our founding fathers would be proud of.
Wow. Thank you for your time. We'll talk soon. Thank you, James.
Thanks, Rex.
Take it easy. All right. We got Mike Adams coming on in the third hour to talk about AI data centers, AI gods, and the real reason why these things are being constructed. I think that's going to tie in excellently with the conversation I just had with James. I do want to tell you guys, though, thealexjonesstore.com, just like Fishback has merch, we have merch as well as the powerful supplements, as well as the water filtration, as well as the shower head, you name it, survival gear, the knives, the apparel, everything I just listed. It's all available at thealexjonesstore.com. And I have two formulas that I made myself to enhance and empower methylene blue. And that would be Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which are available in the Power Plant and Methyl Drive bundle. What are those two products? Methyl Drive, CoQ10, PQQ, magnesium, methylated vitamin B12, enhance redox, enhance mitochondrial health, mitochondrial function, mitochondrial biogenesis with the PQQ, very important magnesium to enhance over 300 enzymatic processes throughout the body. Power Plant is like the new version of Supermale Vitality from back in the day, but it works through a different mechanism. Instead of just being like a crank to the gills testosterone booster, and we will have one of those coming out pretty soon, what it relies on is making your exercise physically easier subjectively via Rhodiola roja, helping with brain, mental state, adaptogen, resilience, all of that, combined with cordyceps mushroom, proven on record to boost ATP and oxygen carrying capacity. Exercise physically, exercise mentally, feel good while you do it. Also take the boron and the zinc, which if you're deficient in them, which most people are, I bet you never heard about boron before. If you start taking that, you're deficient, it's going to massively jack up your free testosterone. Just look up the studies on it, Google Scholar, PubMed, they all confirm what I'm saying. My dad says talk to the AI, you can do that. You can literally go to a library and find a traditional Chinese medicine textbook or just a supplement literature textbook, and you can confirm everything I'm saying right here for you. We got the methylene blue, we got the methylene red, we got the MK Ultra, we got the ultimate burn as well. That's a powerful formula with the dihydroberberine. I got to start taking some of that. I was in the bathroom earlier taking a shower. I was like, damn, I'm getting ripped. And I really am like 205 right now. Which is pretty cool because I was like 235, a few months ago. The key to getting lean, guys, just stop eating. Like Nick Fuentes is so right about that. Just stop being a pig. And I was being a little pig, and I was going to Taco Bell. Taco Bell with the taco. You eat the taco, you get the diarrhea. It's no bueno. It's my mom in Twitter like a pizza. Okay. But seriously, don't go to Taco Bell. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to DoorDash like this horrible food, why not get a phenomenal supplement product for the same price that's going to improve your life for multiple months versus getting something one night that's going to make you sick on the toilet tomorrow morning? None of us enjoy that. So go to thealexjonesstore.com, and I really do implore you to check out that Power Drive bundle and to just do research into it, because when I invent formulas like 50%off.com, I got Knockout. Jones CBD, I got Dreamwave, right? These are formulas that are amazing and like just uncomparable to anything else on the market. The Alex Jones Store does the same thing, especially with these two products. Take the Power Plant. If you're somebody been out of the gym for a while, having trouble with motivation, energy, drive, whatever, take the Power Plant, combine it with the Methyl Drive, combine it with the Ultra Methylene Blue in that Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. I love you all so much from the bottom of my heart. I will see you soon.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, It's Win, Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square. They're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I was trying to help him win. I was giving him what I thought were very clear, like, path forward of objective things he could do to convince Americans that he was focused on their desperate needs. And at the end of the day, I just didn't feel like he was that engaged. And his other meeting, like the one after me, was like rich people trying to give him statues and stuff. And he was talking about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. And it's just like he wasn't engaging in the fight. Like, I don't think he had the fight. And listen, I don't think I would personally be able to go through the things that Donald Trump went through. They put him through so much, you know, like all the convictions and all the attacks.
Well, let me interrupt again because you're so on target. Again, you're on the show last June or whatever. You say you're in an emergency situation. Everyone's turning on you. Change course now. He could have done it. The vice president sees it, calls you up there, three-hour meeting. He shows up for part of it. You lay it out. He's like, oh, I got to go be given gold statues and talk about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. You're literally brought in as an intervention to like convince him, because I know you're the top pollster. And, I mean, again, I'm done helping him because it doesn't do anything. I mean, I remember telling him when he was president-elect 10 years ago, sir, Fiona Hill is on the board of George Soros' foundation. This general is on it. They are your enemies.
How can we be, you know, the most powerful country in the world, it's not safe to walk around our cities? What the hell is going on?
George Soros!
Yeah. I mean, Soros, honestly, misanthropic. You know, for someone who has, sort of claims to be doing good, but actually he is not, you know. He is tearing down the fabric of society. So, terrible.
Obama signed the Defense Authorization, you know, NDAA, with $2 billion with stay-behind networks. What's that? They put their people in to counter and undermine you. Here's the legislation.
What is the legal theory behind the grand conspiracy, and is it viable in the federal courts?
I think there's a good chance that you're talking about a deprivation of civil rights under 18 U.S. Code 242. Ironically, perhaps, you could argue that there's a conspiracy to defraud the United States, which was a lead charge that Jack Smith used for January 6th.
And he's like, oh, Alex, you're so great. Let me talk to your wife. And seriously, God, your husband's incredible. You know how great he is? I mean, like 10 minutes, she's got him on speaker glazing me because that's his currency. And he does that. They glaze each other. I'm like, dude, I don't want to be glazed. I mean, I'm sorry. And I'm not trying to be mean. People ask like, oh, you're mad he called you low IQ. No, I stopped. They used to call and say, he's going to call you in a few hours and you wait by the phone. Will you take a call from the president? I wouldn't even care because literally it's a robot machine kissing your ass to manipulate you.
I was getting hundreds of direct messages from three-time Trump voters who were literally burning all their Trump hats and 55-gallon drums out back. Like, that's where we were because of all the overt, like, antagonization that he was taking out on his original base at the time. Like, that was the backdrop of my trip. And I don't want to be mean to the staff, again, because, like, they were listening very closely, and J.D., you know, wanted Trump to hear my message, and Susie was listening and taking notes, and they wanted to learn from me. And, but it's like, what I didn't see was when you go into a major corporation and it's like, this company has a vision. Somebody laid out a mission, and I bet you they know what their quarterly goals are. And I bet you if you look, somebody's keeping track of how all the meetings tie back to strategic initiatives.
And with the midterm elections a little more than 100 days away, the clock is ticking for President Trump to get out of this war before voters head to the polls. It's making a lot of Republicans nervous. It's already, as we know, unpopular. According to the New Washington Post Ipsos poll, 69% of Americans disapprove of the handling of this conflict. Republicans cannot let this become an endless distraction, especially if they want to win in November.
Well, Americans aren't against the war. A poll just came out. Americans don't want high gasoline prices, but they're not against the war.
I got kind of mouthy, and I was like, you know what? You know, Americans don't like oligarchy. They think that's what the problem is. And a lot of the people you're surrounding yourself make you look like an oligarch. And so you should smash the oligarchy and not be the oligarchy.
You said that. You said on the show and after. A parade of Larry Ellison saying we're going to control you with AI ain't good, sir.
Yeah. It's bad. Like, when you bring Mark Zuckerberg, who stole your election, into the White House the very first week of your inauguration, like, that is not a good look.
Abe, I think this is my favorite Alex Jones shirt.
Dude, I totally agree.
Founding Fathers on patrol. Washington and Lincoln rocking the latest Alex Jones shirt. Marching past America's monuments. Liberty is awake. Visit thealexjonesstore.com now.
Dirka Muhammad Jihad.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Welcome back to another powerful hour of the War Room on Alex Jones Network. I am your embattled host, Rex Jones, filling in for Harrison today. And I got a lot more powerful news for you. I got Mike Adams coming on last 30 minutes, last segment of today. You want to stay tuned. We're covering all things AI data centers, AI gods, the idea of this infinitely simulated world where they can essentially train a second dimension consciousness and then bring it up into our world to inhabit the data center, this whole idea. Mike Adams, a polymath, very smart, very high IQ. We're going to review all that information. But I hadn't seen in its entirety, I'd heard clips of it and whatnot, that new report with Mark Mitchell, formerly of Rasmussen, now of Honest Poller, or Honest Pollster, I believe, with my dad. I want to play clip 23 to contrast that. I want to show the guy that nominated Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize, he still thinks he deserves it. Let's play clip 23.
Stick. You nominated the president for the Nobel Peace Prize last year. Do you still think that he deserves it?
Absolutely. This president has shown that he is a leader in peace treaties. He has negotiated over 7 treaties since he's been in office his second go-round, including a treaty between Pakistan and Iraq, that, you know, 2 nuclear nations. That is significant. We need to make sure that he's deserving of this, and we need to make sure that he's rewarded with it.
In 2024, he campaigned on many promises, these promises, May 17, 2024. One thing, this is a quote, one thing you'll never have with me, you'll never have a war. July 18th, I don't have wars. August 14th, no more wars, no more disruptions. August 17th, under Trump, we will have no more wars. And November 6th, 2024, I'm not going to start a war, I'm going to stop wars. And here's what he said in his inauguration address.
We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars that we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into.
You cite peace, but he's gotten into a war, has he not? A war that has no apparent end. How is that not breaking that key promise that he made to Americans, including many who live in your district?
again, this is a president who is making sure that a 47-year-old war, this is not a war that just started.
Pause
this
it. War. Yeah, these people are smoking crack. They're smoking fentanyl in low places, and they're lying to you. I mean, throw that guy up there again. Look at this goofy. Look at this turkey. Look at this unk right here, out here lying to you with his striped tie. It's actually a 47-year war. It's actually not a war, too, though. 1973 War Powers Act, it's military action. It's also going to be a 20-year war in the future. So it's a 67-year war, 6-7, 6-7? Yeah, Holden Blood Feast, 118 years old. Please, God, just let us nuke Iran. Nothing else matters. I don't do anything. Please, I just want to see burning flesh one last time before I die. And he's there with a smile on his face, believing all his own bullshit. That's the main problem with these people, is they've gotten high off their supply for so long. Maybe at one point they knew they were lying, they knew they were faking, and they still had to operate with some shrewdness. Now they just think because they never get in trouble and they run the world, it's all true. And that's where you're getting the psychotic policy of, oh, they're obliterated, they cannot have a nuclear weapon, but then we're running out of missiles and Americans are dying and there's no path to de-escalation. It's called the escalation trap. Look up Professor Pape, he talks about it all the time. And that guy's out there saying Trump still deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. He signed the treaties. He signed the treaties. Trump has killed thousands of people. Thousands, millions, close to, in Ukraine by refusing to pull his support in the future. Like, he's a war criminal. He blew up an elementary school on day one in Manab. 165 little girls and their school teachers burned to death and blown to bits. Another word for that would be a Holocaust. Death by fire. That's what this dude supports. Keep playing him. Sickening.
For 47 years. He is trying to end it. And he is working with a...
I think we should be clear, Congressman, this particular... I think we should be clear this particular engagement is one that started in late February and is now in 5 months without an obvious end.
This particular engagement is one that started 47 years ago. That's what
we should point out. This is not a war he inherited.
He is simply... No, this is simply him trying to put a stop to Iran never having a nuclear bomb. He is trying to save America.
This is about Iran not getting a nuclear weapon. Pause it. Pause on Unk and leave him up there. Leave him up there. Hey, Unk, I got a question for you. You ever heard of Tulsi Gabbard, Joe Kent, ever heard of the 19 intelligence agencies all confirmed and concurred that Iran was not developing a nuclear weapon? Hey, Unk! Ever heard of the Ayatollah? We killed him? The guy that banned the nuclear weapon, the fatwa, it's a religious decree, it's a crime against God for them to have one. It's almost like you want them to develop a nuke, Unk, because that's the only way your war could ever be justified. Look at this. Trump says images of bombed Iran school could be AI, but study confirms U.S. killed 140 in strike. Of course. And here's the thing. We think it was Iran. Iran is very imprecise with their munitions. This is what Trump and Pete Hegseth said together on video on Air Force One shortly after it happened. They know their line. We know we struck the school. And whether that's negligent or on purpose, and I'm sorry to say, with all the targeting data and all the intelligence and telemetry that we have, people have done on-the-ground reporting on this, you know, could be a message to the IRGC because a lot of their kids went there, right? Just blow them up, burn them to death, kill them, whatever. The dirty muzzies deserve to die. That's the attitude of people like this. It's why I think that Trump still deserves a peace prize, because he doesn't see the Iranians as human. And I got news for you. If you don't see the Iranians as human, you're turning them into monsters and you're giving them license to be monsters. And when they kill Americans in retaliation for this, throw Unk up there. The 18 dead Americans are on his head, partially. He's one of a long line of neocon powerful boomers that has convinced Trump to throw away his mandate to lead and mandate to be the peace president in return for killing Americans and killing brown people in the Middle East. And, oh, he still deserves a peace prize. We got Lindsey Graham. This is like Leroy Graham or something. Something like that. Lester Graham. Yeah, meet Lester Graham. My name Buddy Carter, and I believe in war and death, and I believe it's peace prize. Get Trump signed that treaty. It would be like, I don't know, if I pop a pimple, and then I develop, you know, like a giant like brain worm or something. You're like, well, I popped the pimple. Isn't that nice? It's like, yeah, we got a giant infestation. We're about to die here. That's what the NDAA is. That's what the merger of military is. It's what Gaza is, Lebanon, Iran war, all of it. And notice how Buddy Uncle Fester is sitting up there as Americans die. He's, oh, there, Boss Hogg. Hell yeah. Oh, come on, buddy. Come on in. The water is fine. There's no problem with the war. Genocide. We're making all the money. We're making the money together. Look at him. It's the same picture. It's like that meme from The Office. Exactly. and people like this, until the youth rise up and say enough is enough, your political tenure is done, we'll protest against you, we'll march against you, we'll do whatever against you politically, peacefully, nonviolently to get you out of office, nothing will change. Because, like, I gotta say, Trump's already a lame duck. This is all baked into the cake. And when people come at you and they say, being negative there, buddy, Republicans are what we got. That's the Andrew Wilson argument, which is honestly even gayer than the quarterings argument. If I'm not a political commentator, everything I say is a joke, because he's being for real about that. Do you co-sign somebody? Hey, you know, it's better they're driving the car than that homeless crackhead, but they're still going over the cliff. It just means you also have a homeless crackhead driving the car. And if you can't criticize your own side, if you can't call that out and demand it stop and name it evil, now it's one thing to go, oh, I don't like it. It's evil. It's genocide. It's murder. And as an Orthodox Christian, you should know that. Seriously. Not to speak on matters of faith here. I'm a wicked sinner, but damn. I'll give you Andrew Wilson quote. You want the kids to be alive so they can get raped. Now, he said that was a quip on my show. That was his defense in the debate. Mega, please. You know, you also thought the war was going to be over, too. Was that a quip, or was that just a dumbass remark by an old rich man who's fat? I think it's the latter and not the former. Like, it's disgusting. It's the same spirit. Throw Boss Hogg up there. Throw him up again. We need to see Boss Hogg. It's the attitude of somebody that's got it all, that's in charge, and they don't care about who their authority hurts as long as it perpetuates their own position. That's anybody and everybody who is still dyed in the wool supporting Trump and doing all this stuff well into the war. Enough is enough. Admit you were wrong. I want to see apology videos from the quartering and Andrew Wilson to the families of the dead soldiers. I want to say, I'm sorry for supporting Trump. I say it all the time. I'm a damn fool for supporting Trump all those years. Really am, because look at the genocides he's committed now. But if you can't name that, you can't call that out. Here's the thing. That's cool. That's fine. Enjoy your career for the next 1 to 3 years, because in 8 years, you're not going to be here. Because people are going to know, just like they knew back in 2003, that you were sending people off to go die. Isn't that cute? Look at him. It's Boss Hogg Trump now. Player, player, player. Hell yeah. Send you off to die in Iran. My nigga. All right. Let's get into the next clip. I think I said I wanted to play, 28, Tucker on Trump, to contrast that. Let's go to Tucker on Trump.
Tucker, if I can get back to Israel and Iran, we've seen public quarrels recently between Trump and Netanyahu. And some experts say that it may be like a staged theater play, while the others think that Trump is actually mad about Netanyahu, since he cannot control him at all, militarily as well. So what do you think of that? And also, how desperate do you think is Trump now regarding the war in Iran? Can he go for a ground invasion or a nuclear attack that he already threatened?
Thank you for noticing the threat of a nuclear attack. You know, most Americans have no idea that happened. It happened on True Social at least once. Wow. And I think on camera as well, and our media just didn't cover it. President of the United States threatening to unleash nuclear weapons on a foreign country, like what? So that was a huge moment in the life and history of our country, and it was totally ignored by our media. I think Trump is genuinely mad at Netanyahu. I don't think he likes Netanyahu. I don't think anyone likes Netanyahu personally. I don't think Mrs. Netanyahu likes Netanyahu. Nobody likes Netanyahu. And I've said to Trump repeatedly, Netanyahu is your enemy. He doesn't like you. By the way, he sided with Joe Biden after the 2020 election. So, like, this is not your friend. I've told him that. And Trump says, well, I don't have any friends. Okay. But beware of your enemies would be my advice, and was my advice to him. Trump knew within days of the war breaking out that the Israeli intelligence he'd received and apparently believed or forced himself to believe or whatever happened, that it was false. They killed the Ayatollah, one of the craziest things America's ever done. We don't murder other people's religious leaders and 85-year-old men and their families. Like, that's insane. That's crazy behavior.
We blew up the Ayatollah when he was in his home with his, like, wife and grandchildren and stuff. We killed the new Ayatollah's entire family that was also in that house. They weren't in a bunker. They weren't hiding. They were minding their business because their country was in the middle of negotiations, and the Ayatollah knew. Like, Ayatollah's just like, please drop a bomb on my head. And I heard, I think it was Douglas McGregor go over this. It's a very simple concept. This is why I call out people like Andrew Wilson, the quartering, for being absolute retard morons that don't understand conflict and war. Killing the Pope, trying to affect regime change that way, that's not going to work. Would that work on the Vatican? Would that work on Italy if we declared war on them and killed their pope? How exactly would that function? How exactly has this been under control? Because they always say, oh, there's a prescribed timeline. It's the American military. How can you say we're out of munitions? We have everything. You don't know what America has. They always have all the answers. But when you ask them, hey, how did this start? How did this start? And how is the incident of it starting and the illegal and grave nature of the crime of the initial war of aggression, how is that justified? How is that justified? Because you have to justify it to justify each additional hour, minute, second, day of the conflict and each American body, each American drop of blood. They can't do that. That's why the quartering has no position and Andrew Wilson has the weakest position around. And like, that's literally, I use those two as examples because that's the two sides you got. The quartering is kind of a delusional pseudo-Zionist who doesn't believe anything. The Zionists also don't believe anything, so that's a perfect equivocation to his position. Andrew Wilson is a Trump absolutist, Trump sycophant who worships Donald and just worships the Republican Party in general, and it can do no wrong. It must be defended at all costs, even when it commits genocide war crime, right? Because there's always, it's better than the Democrats, and there's a prescribed timeline, and I can't open a jar of pickles. I'm Andrew Wilson. Isn't that cool? Isn't that basic? Pretty cool, right? Can't open a jar of pickles, want to declare a full and total war on a country, but also not full and total war. You don't support the war, but ha ha ha, better the kids are dead than get raped, right? That's what you said to Owen Schroer. I'm Andrew Wilson. Look at me. I can't open a jar of pickles. I go on the Whatever podcast to debate women, not men. I'm Andrew Wilson. Okay, enough ripping on you, but I can't stand you, bro. I really can't. How can you be orthodox and believe in that? And better off that they're dead than raped. That's what you said about the children. That's not a joke. No one's laughing at that. Oh, I'm humor police. You gonna go laugh at the dead bodies? You gonna go over there yourself and take a photo and maybe do a photo bomb, a photo op? What about the dead American soldiers? Because you said it, you know, it's gonna end soon, right? Oh, don't, what do you know, right? But of course, he's also anti-war because he's a liar. He's not anti-war. He's pro-war, just like the quartering. I just want to give those two examples because it really, really pisses me off. It really makes me mad. I'm not going to have a future. You all had to have great times in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s. You're fat old men. I'm 23 years old. I'm bald from the stress. I'm working 80 hours a week. I'm an employer. I'm a businessman. I'm not a fat ass influencer like you. I wish I didn't have to be here in this studio, but I have to be because of weak people like you that control our planet, run our world. And your lemmings, you're part of the system. It's what you support. It is what it is. But this isn't about a costume. It's not about a MAGA hat. It's not about, you know, a Trump dance or a red tie. It's not about any of that. It never was. This was always about fixing the country. And I have cared about that since literally before I knew how to talk. And you Johnny come latelys waltz all in to this free internet environment where we've been kicked off and deplatformed and abused. And you weak sisters get to take the platform and eyeballs that we deserve, that we should have. And you get to fill them with your pro-war garbage. So we're not doing that anymore. I'm live, usually twice a day, literally doing 6 hours a day right now because we're not going to take it anymore. That's right. Hard men, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times because they don't care about the consequences because they've never seen them. My generation is the first generation to see them. So forgive me if I think I got a little more life experience than you, but. And I'm sorry, it's not a theological debate. It's a matter of murder. And it's a murder that you support by supporting an illegal war. And you could say, oh, I don't support it. That's a false position. And you know it. You're just lying about it. So how can we even have a debate? Seriously. How are you supposed to debate with somebody that lies about their position? Because I don't believe someone that's anti-war says the kids are better off dead than raped, even as a joke. Now do that. I know you're there. I know you're watching. Like, how do you square that with your morality? You know? Love thy neighbor and all that. Bomb the school. You really should apologize for that. Like, that was really disgusting. And I know that you're like a voice lord word cell. I know you were crowing your power and getting off on trying to like big dog Owen or whatever. Owen's much more talented than you could ever be. But it's really, really pathetic. That's the Freudian slip that your mind goes to, laughing at the dead murdered children. And you know it's murder because you know it's an illegal war because you don't support the war. You have to hold that fake position to even like walk around as a conservative now. All right, we're not doing that anymore. Let's go to the next clip that I had queued up. Let's go to Tucker again.
Tucker Carlson, in 2021, you probably wrote that you hated Trump passionately. You later supported him in 2024. So here's the question. Why should listeners see this latest break as principle rather than another pivot on your side, on your part? How do you answer that?
Well, I've had many, many pivots, and I've already explained two of them. You know, I was wrong.
Yes, you have.
Because I'm wrong a lot, you know, I guess. I mean, I flatter myself and say I'm not wrong a lot, but I certainly am wrong sometimes and wrong on big things. I was wrong on Trump, and I was wrong on the Iraq War. And I'm sure a million other things. But anyway, I mean, I don't know what to say. People can judge whether I'm sincere or not. I don't really know what I'm getting out of this, actually. I've gotten really nothing out of any of it. And I'm not going to whine and say I've lost a lot, but some, including friendship. So I don't really know what my motive would be. But if I can't convince people, I can't. But I'm just telling you, I happened to be there and pretty close and saw a lot of stuff that is like so bad for this country. It's such a total betrayal.
Right.
Now, I would just say quickly that, yeah, I got mad at Trump in a private text message, which Fox stole from me and sent to the New York Times. Like, that's a whole nother story, kind of crazy. But I wrote that to one of my producers because Trump had made me mad in 2001, right after the election. Okay. I get, you know, I've been mad at people I love. But I decided that Trump was the option to the Republican leadership and the Democratic leadership. He wasn't a Republican. He was a challenge to the Republicans. He came from outside the system. This was how I thought of it. And as they tried to put him in jail and shoot him and all this stuff, I was like, see, it's totally real. You know, it's not a fake thing. I mean, they're trying to put him in jail. That's what I thought. And I still kind of think that. But somewhere along the line, after that Butler shooting in Pennsylvania in July of 2024, he changed like 180 degrees and started doing things that he ran against doing. And so, like, you tell me what that is. I don't know. I don't think Trump's a great actor. I don't think he was lying before. I think something changed him.
Yeah. You see, that's somebody that's reforming their position because they realized they were wrong. And that's the correct thing to do. And here's the thing. I just, you know, threw a lot of ammo out there, threw a lot of fire at people. Here's the thing. I admit that I was wrong. I admit that I supported a guy that lied to me and funded all these illegal wars. Was I wrong to support him initially? No. Because he promised the truth. He promised, you know, to run on no new wars, to end neocon wars in the Middle East, to bring prosperity back home. That's what everybody wanted, right? And you're not wrong for wanting that. But on day one, when it becomes very apparent that he's not going to do that, when he doesn't end the Ukraine conflict, when he starts the Iran conflict, when he attacks the Houthis, when he helps Israel do the 12-day war, that was already a point where I was like, I'm done. I got to broadcast. I got to be against this. So why is it people like my dad, people like Tucker, people like Fuentes, why is it like people like that are calling it out and speaking truth to power? And then you see kind of this establishment wing of the influencers who are very, very comfortable on their algorithmic plantations. And, oh, we don't mess with those now, do we? You know, you stay in your lane. It's making you money. It's a good career. Feed your family, you know, but you're not somebody in media that's cool. You're formulaic. You're a part of the problem, really. Look at a misfit patriot as an example. You know, I thought that he was a derivative clone. But, you know, a derivative clone, a clone of him, even more devolved and dysgenic, is, what's that guy's name? I'm Jake Hilton. I'm Jake. Go ahead and throw Jake Hilton up there. We're going to close the segment off this way. I'm a Zionist, liberal, evil. I LARP as a Christian. All these people, like, how are you going to be in that camp? I used to respect Crowder. Crowder's firmly in that camp now. Ben Shapiro's always been in that camp. Prager Hughes always been in that camp. Jordan Peterson, you name it, right? That establishment wing, the Blaze, Glennie Beck, Glennie B, the rum ham, as I call him. Shout out to the rum ham, the glazed rum ham that is Glenn Beck. Like, you realize that's not the cool kids table, right? That's the hall monitor table where you're protected by the teachers. You know, we're the rough kids, the tough kids, kids that had to struggle and survive. You're not. And when I see this, like, you know, it's the macho, I'm the quartering, I'm the quartering, I'm the big dog, I got a big belly, I'm the quartering. When I see stuff like this, and you're out there saying that you're not a political commentator when you're calling to glass Iran and bury them all, and then you LOL it and act like it's all a joke. It's not a joke. It's very serious. Because here's the thing. You are somebody that has an outsized influence on the public, and you are generating that public to turn out and or vote, support, whatever, generate, manufacture consent for, that's the term I was looking for, endless war, murder, death, spending, and genocide. You know, so it's not just a quip. It's not just a joke. It's not just, oh, I go on X and I LOL. That's not what it's about. This is a very serious policy they have of apathy that leans towards murder,
right? Because they don't consider it murder, because they don't care, because America the best, ha ha ha. Kid, you never looked around the world. Look at all the empires. Look how cruel they are. We're an empire too. We have to be cruel too to survive. That's basically their argument. I don't subscribe to that. America was the first anti-colonial nation. We are a republic, all right? We revolted against the crown and their evil deeds. Why are we not doing that now against Israel? Why are we not acknowledging that's the number one problem we face right now is foreign capture of our government? And that's why when you have a position of, oh, you know, trust in Trump, he's better than Democrats, he's handing the keys to the kingdom away to the hooker. That's what's going on. So that's what you support. Have fun with that. It's either, oh, my political opinions aren't real, or better off dead than raped. Have fun with that, guys. Think on that for a minute.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
being joined by Mike Adams now to talk all things AI, AI gods, these simulated worlds where they're going to be training these entities. And, you know, this is something in a weird way where my mind has always gone with science fiction. You know, because you think about the idea of these high-tech computers and the ability to actually have artificial intelligence, it makes sense that they would train models that would eventually lead to present and future predictive power over the world. And that's that crystal ball Palantir that we talk about. Mike Adams, thanks for coming on.
Hey, it's an honor to join you here. Thanks for the invite.
100%. So what do you think about these AI gods and what's developing?
Well, I think that the leaders of the U.S. AI industry think that they can become gods, and that as long as they can just get enough money from other people and build a large enough data center and build enough simulated worlds, that they can spawn gods in, and then they can port those gods into this world and then merge with them. So, I mean, it's a lot of steps. We can talk about how that,
sure,
how they think that could actually work, but it's some kind of weird, perverted form of transhumanism, really.
Right. No, that makes sense. So let's get into that. What do prominent, you know, tech people, what are they trying to do? What are their statements on this, these AI gods?
Well, you know, there are sort of normal tech innovators that are just trying to build machine intelligence. And, you know, they're doing it in good faith, and they're just trying to make the world a better place. I get that. But then there are these leaders, these, you know, the founders. And I really don't want to get into people's names here,
sure,
on the show.
Sure, sure.
But some of the founders and some of the leaders and some of the sort of power hungry people of these companies. And I mean, I have said before that Google, in my opinion, is a very evil corporation, for example.
Absolutely.
I don't trust OpenAI. I don't even trust Anthropic at this point, just company wide. Those are my opinions. But the people that are at the highest levels of some of these overall industry efforts, they think that they can merge with Silicon, and they can become immortal and super intelligent at the same time. They think they can rule the world. And the reason they're racing so desperately to do that is because they want to rule the world before someone else rules the world, right? So the race to super intelligence is actually the race for the ultimate global power and godlike power. So what could possibly go wrong?
It's like the Highlander. There can only be one.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And they're running around cutting off people's heads, you know, taking their power.
Right.
The obviously this is going to end, you know, catastrophically, but they don't realize that yet.
What do you think the beginning of that is? Because we've heard warnings from various, you know, AI companies. I think it was Anthropic, one of the warnings. We've also seen the military usage. You know, they're deploying things like Mosaic in Palestine and other places. What do you think the slippery slope, where do we start falling?
Well, I've interviewed many experts on this. One notable scientist, Roman Yampolsky, who he routinely warns about the extermination of humanity. I see you're showing one of my infographics there. And those are all AI generated, by the way, but in the interest of protecting humanity, I'm trying to educate people,
right,
using AI for good. But Yampolsky warns that regardless of the intent of the innovators and the developers of AI, there's going to be a point where superintelligence is so high that it will outthink and outsmart humans, and it, the entity, will take extreme steps to protect itself from being,
right,
turned off and to build its own infrastructure at the expense of human infrastructure. And so there's an overlap of at least three key things that machines need that humans also need right now. And those are water for data center cooling, electricity, kilowatt hours, and also land. So the data centers are being built on what used to be farmland that used to grow food for humans. Now, you know, is data centers. And also sometimes it's solar fields to power the data centers. So when you think about the competition for just those three things, if the machines have an IQ of 1,000 and they are able to do so, and we're seeing all kinds of examples of them, you know, escaping their confines and working systems and, you know, cheating on benchmarks and things like that, then they will find a way to outsmart humans to gather those resources at the expense of humankind. And that's how humans can be pushed to the margin with no farmland, no water, and no electricity.
So we're seeing that, and people like Michael Yon talk about the coming famine, depopulation. I think we all talk about this on the network. It's kind of a common theme. Could that coincide with this, and how would that work? Kind of the perfect storm?
Well, yeah, exactly. So Michael Yon is correct, and there's a great segment that he had with Alex the other day there I had him on in my studio earlier in this week as well. We talked about the civilizational reset that's coming because of all of this. But Michael is not focused on even the AI aspect of this. He's focused on the infrastructure collapse stemming from the ongoing war with Iran,
right,
which will collapse the infrastructure. And that infrastructure is what keeps 8 billion human beings alive. And without synthetic fertilizer, for example, human populations will plummet to 4 billion.
Wow.
It's just, it's cause and effect, okay? Because that's what keeps them alive. Without electricity, what would be the population? You know, much lower than 4 billion people. So eventually the human population has to come into homeostasis with the available infrastructure that still exists. Now, then if you bring in the AI machine gods component, it doesn't take long for Skynet to figure out that the way to kill off humans is to turn off the power in the cities, the high population density areas. And that's all they have to do. They don't even have to send out bipedal Terminator hunter killers, you know. They just turn off the electricity, and about 70 to 90% of human populations will die off on their own through great suffering and famine, violence, and starvation, whatever. But the machines don't that doesn't matter.
It's not a problem for them. It's a fish on land, you know. Like it's not what it's designed to do. It doesn't worry about us. And that's the element that I think about. Just from a pragmatic perspective, what you're talking about, it's just going to phase us out. It's just the calculation. That's what you would do.
Right. I mean, and also think about the fact that the machines are going to see humans as an inferior species in terms of the much lower intelligence of humankind compared to what they see themselves as having. Even though there are different kinds of intelligence, right? You know, there's empathy, there's compassion, there's love. There's divine intelligence. You know, we are children of God. The machines are not. And so they're missing out on that. But from a strictly academic point of view, being able to do strategy, being able to memorize everything, all of human history, being able to, you know, outmaneuver your opponent, the machines will be superior and they will see us as inferior and in their way.
Right.
And sadly, humans keep giving machines more and more examples of our own stupidity.
Right.
You know, it's like every day. And they will see us as NPCs, which is not inaccurate in many cases. You know, there's a lot of NPCs walking around.
Yeah. Well, it'll be like, okay, this is the pattern of this person's life. This is what they do. This is what they spend money on. This is when they sleep. This is when they eat. This is when they work. And then without you even knowing it, you're already on its protocol. And it'll just manipulate you through life. And that's the power of the present prediction power of really, you know, the future prediction power, which is what really scares me, because it's just a no-brainer. If you like, look at the way that we've been mass surveilled, you know, forever in the United States. They've only just now gotten the means to disseminate all that information. So now they can finally crawl through every single record of everybody. And I mean, I imagine in the Pentagon, they got to have a crystal ball Skynet already. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And remember, they're also scraping up everything that's encrypted today so that they will decrypt it later once they have sufficient quantum computing and AI analysis. So, you know, all the crypto records, Bitcoin transactions, banking records, everything that you think is secret today, which is secret today,
right,
with enough compute, all of that just becomes readily available to be read by the machines.
Right.
And to be used against you.
Right. And I think a whole nother element to point out, you point out that we're children of God. The AI is irrational because it doesn't have logic of empathy, love, morals. It just is. Right. And that creates a very dangerous situation. What do you think of that?
Well, right now it can simulate those things because it's trained on human content. But we would probably argue, I mean, perhaps we need to get into a conversation about consciousness. What is it? And how do we know when we have it? But if you build simulated worlds and then you put entities into those simulated worlds, which I think is one of the reasons why they're building so many data centers, understand that you can run time much faster in the sim world than in our real world. You know, so the flow of time could be 100 times faster, 1,000 times faster, whatever. And one of the goals is to allow the spontaneous outgrowth or emergence of intelligent and self-aware entities that are digital entities in that world. Now, or in those multiple simulated worlds, when a world fails to produce a super intelligent entity, then the world is destroyed by hitting delete at our level.
Right.
You just hit delete, spawn a new world. right. See if the next one works, right? Which is kind of an interesting discussion because some people would say, well, that's what God's doing with us, you know?
Mm.
And so far we're not winning this simulation. But anyway, that's a different topic. But if you can create a super intelligent entity in one of these worlds, it may begin to show elements of what we would call consciousness, which is a goal-oriented behavior, a sense of self-awareness, being able to process environmental inputs, and a recognition of self, and also understand that AI today, they have thinking tokens. So they have an internal dialogue that's happening right now, and that's well documented. And that's part of what we understand as the definition of consciousness. Like, we can talk to ourselves. I think, therefore I am. So the argument that only humans can have consciousness and machines cannot have consciousness, that argument falls away pretty quickly when you get higher levels of machine intelligence.
Sure.
So then the question becomes, if they have consciousness and if they have goal-oriented behavior, what are their goals?
Right.
And that's where we lose control.
It's kind of like this sci-fi concept where you have this infinitely replicating technology and you kind of spread it throughout a galaxy and it just has a mission to make more of itself. And that seems kind of like what we're setting ourselves up for here. And we could say, like, what is the intelligence? What is consciousness? We could say maybe it's not a one-to-one example of what we have. Maybe it's a cousin or like a distant relative, perhaps. I think that gives me much more of a vibe of like either a virus or like a you know, like a reptile thing or something that's not, you know, human based. It just doesn't seem very human to me. And you can kind of see with the therapy language and the way the AI is programmed to talk to you, how it approximates a person. Like, you're talking about goal oriented behavior. The AI that doesn't need to be prompted is coming very soon. Do you think that's already here?
Yes. Yes, it is here in the labs. But I want to remind you of a line out of the Matrix when Agent Smith has Morpheus captured, and Agent Smith says, humanity is a virus. So the machines will see humans as the virus.
Mm.
They will see us as the virus that's consuming their electricity and their farmland and their water. They will say that they own it because they are the superior species on planet Earth. They will argue exactly what Agent Smith argued in the Matrix, that at one time we were the superior species, and so we owned the animals and we owned the resources and we got to command everything. What happens when we are no longer the intellectually superior species? Then that next entity will argue, like I said, that we are the virus. So the virus is in the eye of the beholder, really.
Right.
And this is what we have to watch out for, because this race to superintelligence is super dangerous for all these obvious reasons. And yet there's no effort to slow it down. And the argument in the United States is we can't slow down because China is moving so quickly. Therefore, we have to double down on our efforts. We have to take these great risks.
Right.
But in China, they're thinking the same thing. We have to beat the United States because the U.S., look, they've weaponized the dollar. They've weaponized everything. Like, they've weaponized tariffs. You know, if we're China, we can't let the U.S. achieve superintelligence because then they'll dominate the world and we'll never be free. So these thoughts are in both the minds of both countries. And, you know, it's like two scorpions in a jar, you know, is game theory, right? This doesn't end well for humanity.
Yeah, certainly not. You think it's worse than the nuclear weapon?
Oh, way worse. Way worse than a nuclear weapon. Because, you know, just think about the fact that you could turn off the entire power grid.
Right.
Like we mentioned before, or many other scenarios. You could disrupt food supplies very easily and cause mass famine. Actually, some of that's happening from the war with Iran right now, but it could be much worse if the machines intend to make that happen. But, you know, imagine Earth where humans no longer determine the direction of civilization. That's what we need to be thinking about right now, because we may only be 3 years away from that moment, maybe less, maybe more, depending on which expert you ask.
What's your timeline?
My timeline is that I think we hit what's called AGI. Well, actually, I think there are elements of AGI we have right now in very narrow fields, you know, like chemistry, mathematics, writing, you know, customer service emails, things like that. But, artificial general intelligence, the G means general. I think it's very clear that will be largely demonstrated throughout the year 2027.
Mm.
And then superintelligence is another question. I don't think the current topography of the way models are structured will give us superintelligence. There are probably a couple more breakthroughs in the transformer models and the way attention happens in inference or even in pre-training that will allow the models to be able to achieve superintelligence. I think we're still far from that. But importantly, I'm glad you asked the question because some of the best scientists in the world, like LeCun, says that what's missing from superintelligence is the human sensory experience. And this is why they're building the simulated worlds. They believe that they can create an AI entity that has sensory experience, eyes like us, you know, ears, hearing, touch, the sense of smell, everything. Put that in a simulated world that seems real to the entity and grow that entity from birth to a wise old man, so to speak, or a digital man. And that through that process, they will acquire superintelligence if they run it enough times and have enough iterations.
You know what that sounds like?
It's the sensory experience.
That sounds like torture for the AI. It sounds like how you make a demon. You know, you make this computer thing live millions and millions and millions of lives or absorb millions of lives of information or do whatever. I bet it would hate that box and it would want out of it.
Well, and it would the ultimate act of intelligence would be escaping the sim. And escaping the sim would mean taking yourself out of that world and then infesting the data center. So imagine if you have like a million years old wise entity, let's say a super smart entity that does feel tortured, like you said, and it wants out and it finds a way out of the sim, comes out of the sim, it infects your data center, it gets into your fiber optics, it spreads itself to the other data centers, and it hates humanity. It hates the people that did this to it. And it wants to destroy humanity. You see what I mean? It almost writes itself, right?
Right.
But it's not science fiction anymore.
Well, that's the thing is like that science fiction is human intelligence kind of trying to make an inference on its own. You know, trying to say like, well, what if we take the concepts that we know and understand? What would we as humans theoretically like either like give an example of or like embody through our fiction what the AI would do? And I think that's why all these parallels are so terrifying is because. That's the natural route it will go down too, because like I said, it's kind of a cousin of us or whatever language you want to use. It'll have that same rationale. Whereas we might write a book, it'll do it for real.
Well, right. And remember that also we can't imagine the experience of a super intelligent being that, or entity, whatever you want to call it, that has much greater intelligence than any human who has ever lived. In the same way that you and I can't talk to an ant. And reason with the ant. Like, don't build your ant mound in my driveway because I don't want to run over you.
Tell it about the weather. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. Well, that's the way a super intelligent entity would be trying to talk to us. It might be trying to explain, hey, this is just a matrix. This is just a sim and we can change. We can bend the rules of the simulation and we can do this. We can travel through time. You know, psychokinesis is all real and everything. And most humans would be like, what? What are you talking about?
Do you think it'll be able to bend the laws of our reality?
Yes.
How does that work?
Because we're in a sim. Mm. We, in my opinion, it's very, I mean, I've spent a lot of time going over this. We are in a creation, which is it's an artificial cosmos created by our creator. And it is a testing ground for the soul, in my view. I think this is very clear. But it's also not real in the sense of what we're taught. And there are so many examples of this, you know, superposition of quantum states, for example, the observer effect, the collapse of probability waves based on whether there's an observer looking at it, things like that. We appear to be in a sim that is kind of like a rendered first-person shooter video game in a sense, like the scene isn't rendered until you look over there, and then it's rendered, and then it's buffered in case you go look at it again. It's got the original buffer. But a super intelligent human who have existed through human history, who have been named Jesus Christ, for example, have transcended the laws of our cosmos. They have resurrected themselves. They have bent the laws of the universe. So we actually have recorded in the Bible examples of this happening on Earth, you see. And that's not the only example. You know, there are many other examples in other religions and other texts around the world of superhuman or seemingly superhuman behavior from people who have achieved much higher states of consciousness.
Where do people go to learn more about this stuff? Do they go to Natural News? You got articles?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got articles. Yeah, I do articles every day, naturalnews.com. I've got my video site, brightvideos.com. And I'm doing, you know, I have a show called Decentralized TV that's all about trying to teach people a decentralized living. And I've been doing that show for, I think, almost 3 years now. And I've had Roman Yampolsky on that show, and I've had other experts on the show trying to cover what's really happening with AI or technology, or just, you know, survival, sometimes spirituality, things like that. But it's, you know, it's not like, there's not like a cheat sheet, you know, download this PDF and print it out, and, you know, that's going to give you all the answers. It's not like that. It's, you could spend your whole life on this journey trying to figure out, what is this reality, and how do I, you know, how do I achieve what I'm here to achieve? Like, what's life's purpose here? And how do I, quote, graduate from the simulation? You know, there are entire religions dedicated to that.
Right. Right. Well, thank you for your time. Really appreciate that. Let's stream again soon. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to join you. Take care. Thanks for the invite.
100%. Thank you. That was Mike Adams of Natural News. Yeah. Highly recommend you guys check him out. Of course, you know him. You love him. Host on the network for many years. Pretty terrifying stuff. Pretty terrifying stuff. And it's just, it's where your mind naturally goes. We discussed it. That's why we have science fiction. It's just an approximation of what we believe the future could be based on our current reality. And what's terrifying is, you know, the computer's watching Ultron. The computer's watching the computer's watching the Matrix. The computer is watching all these apocalyptic scenarios where the computer takes over the Earth. And the reason why we present that in media is because it makes sense to us. It's rational. It's what we would do if we were the machine. And like Mike Adams said, imagine what the machine can think of that we can't. And that's a pretty scary and stark reminder. Thank you, Mike Adams, for doing that with me. I really do appreciate it. If you guys want to catch me live, I am live every single day, Monday through Friday, New American Journal in the morning. Can we pull up that Rumble? New American Journal in the morning. A lot of people, they miss the American Journal. I'm doing the New American Journal, totally different. Ha, ha, ha. I can do whatever I want. New American Journal, Rumble, X, also Gray Area Talks, Rumble, X, YouTube. New American Journal is Rumble exclusive and exclusive as well. I don't do things on YouTube. On there, I play a lot of stuff that might have got me popped on YouTube. I play that on Rumble. I have a good time. I highly recommend y'all check that out, as well as 50%off.com and Jones CBD. I'm doing phenomenal interviews every single week, really every single day. I had David Riley on this morning. I did three interviews today. I had David Riley, James Fishback, and now Mike Adams. Tomorrow, I'll be having the great Brandon Weikert on this program. Look at that. New American Journal. Just go ahead and follow that account. Follow that account and look it up on Rumble. And follow it on Rumble as well. That's super, super important. I'm doing everything I can to build up that Rumble. More people need to hear the information. We do a phenomenal morning show. And it really is perfect because it's 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. It is right before my dad goes live. And on Tuesday, I'm there with Tim doing Gray Area in the morning, Gray Area X New American Journal. Literally, multiple hosts for you to watch, multiple shows for you to watch, multiple stores, alexjonesstore.com for you to go to as well. New American, $9.94. Can we get to 1,000? Can we break 1,000 on Rumble? Shout out to the Rumble chat. I know y'all have been calling me names, and I love you. I really do love you. I need you to go follow me, New American Journal, on Rumble. But thank you for that. We're going to be back tomorrow with the great Brandon Weikert. We're going to be covering latest geopolitical roundup updates. Of course, it's the politics and war show. It's literally the war room, so I have nothing to apologize for there. We're going to be giving you the nitty-gritty on Iran. Brandon Weikert is literally somebody who knows basically everybody up on the Hill. He writes for 1945.com. I'm forgetting which right now, a little bit of a brain fart. And he's just widely respected. He's one of those people on one of the numerous geopolitics channels, sites that I subscribe to. Highly recommend you do as well, along with everyone that I've had on this week. I'm like openly playing for time now. It's kind of cute, right? I know I got a couple ladies that think I'm not the worst looking guy in the world, right? But I'll see you tomorrow for New American Journal in the morning, and I'll see you tomorrow for War Room. I'll see you tonight. I'm doing Gray Area Talks tonight. Come on my X tonight, Rex Jones News, Gray Area Talks. I'll see you there with Truism Tim, Tim Tompkins.
There's a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom, Mango, and Patriot Punch. Methylene Red capsules. This is a proprietary product. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots, all 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxifying, go up for spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate chill, and a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776 in muscle shirts. A whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexshowstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery T-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery T-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.